Welcome into the Cam and Strick podcast, episode number 154, presented by Hair Club. You know, I was thinking about hair. My hair is getting so much thicker. First off, before the show today, Cam,
it's getting gray.
As always, well, I haven't had it colored by my French Canadian.
It's easy to do.
Well, she puts like this paste. She like paints my head. It's
well,
like amazing.
Paint the motherfucker.
It's amazing. Well, the season hasn't started yet, so we're getting close. I don't want to, you know,
20, the painting season.
25 washes and it comes out. 25 washes and it comes out.
Hey, man.
Okay, but I put my eye stuff on today. You got to have this stuff, by the way, that you put under your eyes and all that. And then,
I want to be like American. Who's Christian Bale in the 90s where he killed all those women and dudes?
Yes.
I want to be like him.
Horror Street?
American
Horror?
No, and he was working on American Psycho.
American Psycho.
I want to be Christian Bale, not because of the murder, because that's frowned upon. Mm-hmm. You don't murder people. No, no. It's frowned upon. But as far as how he took care of his body and his facial features, Andy, I want to put that mask on.
I don't know if I ever saw the movie.
I want to put that mask on. He goes, bap, 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 and he takes it down, and he looks beautiful.
Yeah.
But then he murders somebody with an axe.
Okay, well, no, don't do that.
You don't do that. That's frowned upon.
That is frowned
you
upon.
You don't do that.
Is there any country that you know of like where you can do that?
Probably Somalia.
Really?
I would say, or maybe North Korea. You
now,
could
we
probably
got
do
Somalians
that.
Listening, dude. Like, they will call
no,
you out.
No, that's military
wrong.
Folk probably in there somehow. Somalia, it's not the easiest life. North Korea ain't good.
They get internet over there or no?
In Somalia?
Yeah.
Nah.
What kind of food do they eat?
No, of course they get internet.
What kind of food are they eating over there?
Fish.
You think, you say it so confidently.
Well, it's on the eastern side of Africa.
Eating?
It's very hardcore.
I think
they
could survive
are pirates
over there.
Out there, too, and they rob big freighter ships. They have these little boats that they take, and they rob these fucking ships. And now the ships
really?
Hire military folk
so they're like,
with badass fucking guns, and they tear these guys apart. It's weird, dude. It's actually kind of creepy. Actually, they made a movie on it with Tom Hanks.
Where is Captain Phillips
Somalia? Or something.
Where is it again?
It's the eastern part of Africa. Very, very poor. Is it the eastern part?
East Africa? Because, I don't know. I'm just asking.
It's in
you.
Africa.
It's
on the coast.
You, know all this about Somalia.
Look
you
it up
know
real
where
quick.
It
Brody,
is.
Help me with that. You're on the phone. Is Somalia on the east coast or is it the west coast of Africa? It's very hardcore. There's a lot of power. Very
it's
poor.
Not the west coast. I know about the western part of the country.
Madagascar is on the west coast,
yes,
too.
Yes, it is.
And then it goes down to the most beautiful place in all of the world is Southeast Asia. And
that's where they have pandas and all that type of stuff. Right?
Well, I'd say, and actually, not Southeast Asia, South Pacific. Somalia's on the west coast
on the
or
west.
East coast.
Yeah, east. Yeah,
I said east. Damn it.
Would you be afraid of a panda?
No, pandas are the most cutest bears in the world. Go ahead.
In the jungle.
No, I wouldn't. They could claw you, but pandas. Look up on YouTube, and I always say look up, but watch these little cute pandas, Andy. They'll come up like, hi, I'm a panda. Da, 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 da. And they go up in a tree and they'll play on a tree 100 feet in the air.
Yes.
And they'll fall and go, ba bam.
And they just
bounce
around. And
they pounce up like, I am a panda.
And then they're like, give me some bamboo.
Give me some bamboo. And then they'll roll like, boo, roll. Oh, dude. They're the cute. If I had a ton of money, I'd buy one.
I know. Oh, I would
money,
have
I'd buy
one too.
One.
I'd have a fucking
wolf too.
I used to hang out in bamboo forests up in Hawaii back in the day when I lived
That's
in Hawaii
awesome.
For a summer, dude. I was hanging out with this dude one day and he goes to the bamboo forest with a machete. He said, watch what I do. And he cuts down. All this bamboo.
Oh, and they eat it
with the machete, and then he makes flutes out of the bamboo.
Yeah, you would like
and
that.
And he sells it.
You would like
and
that.
And he sells it. It's pretty amazing.
You are a flute player, aren't you?
My daughter is. Chloe's playing the flute right now.
Shit.
Yeah, she's playing the flute first
I was
year.
Chirping you, but
I
now
know.
That you say that,
yeah,
I'm like, that's fucking
cool.
I can do that. And I just did.
It's a woodwind.
A who?
A woodwind.
Okay. She's playing the flute. That's cute.
Yeah.
I want her to play the piano. Mm-hmm. I want her to be a singer.
Yeah.
I want her to understand music.
Yeah.
But if you play the flute, it's kind of...
I'm
just saying.
But I think her band teacher, he can play the flute. He plays everything. It's like these dudes who are band teachers, they play every instrument.
Instrument, I should say.
Speaking of pandas, by the way, Robin Leonard, the panda.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, God, because like, hold on.
We call that.
I need a one-word answer from you. Like, should he be on Twitter or off on Twitter?
Come on now. Well, okay.
Like, what's going on? Like, late.
How
do you just decide
you
I'm
gotta,
just going to go
retire.
On a rant?
You got to retire then. Yeah. You got to retire. If you're going to do that and take on the NHL, I don't think you could be working for him and getting paid. Like, at this point, it's like, take him on. And I get what you're saying with shit, dude. Trust me. I got addicted to painkillers more than probably anybody you guys could even know about. I'm okay now, I guess. I was fucked up. I fucking overdosed twice in front of my fucking parents. It was the worst thing in the world. And like, I get it all. I get all that shit, the mental health. I get all of it. But if you're still getting making 5.5 from a team, there's got to be boundaries of what you can say. Yeah, in my opinion.
There you go. So that's what saying, it comes down to.
Because you got
to
retire.
Because here's the one line I didn't like that he said. Listen, you want to call teams out. You want to call people out, doctors, whatever. I mean, you do whatever you need to do. But you still are a player. So you got to keep that in mind. And you never know. He knows better than anybody what goes down there in Vegas. Like, just because you sign a 5-year deal doesn't mean they're keeping you for 5 years. They may trade you out at any moment. And you don't want teams out there to be scared to bring you on board, right? Well, especially the ones that you're calling out. But you can't say, I didn't like the line where you're basically calling out teams and then you're saying, but it doesn't happen here in Vegas. Doesn't happen here in Vegas. Like, you're protecting your own team.
I know.
And it's like, dude, it doesn't matter. Like, you're a player. You're saying what you're saying. And I'm not going to sit here and, like, agree or disagree, whatever. I love information from players. But don't call everybody out and then try to protect the team that you play for. It doesn't necessarily work like that. You know what I mean?
Listen, you're doing good work, and you're bringing attention to a subject that maybe needs attention. I mean, it does. Yeah. Okay, fine. We get that. And
I think general managers we've had on have even touched on that a little bit.
We've had, you know what I mean? No doubt. But when you're loud, and you're loud on social media in this particular way, you're not just affecting what you're saying to all the guys are like, what do we have now? Now, like, different media's coming in. Now it's a story.
Is he ready to play?
Are you focused? Are the guys like, are you okay upstairs? Like, do we need to sit you out today? Like, what, now you're affecting the team. And I don't know if it's good, man. Like, I just think if you're still playing, and I love Robin, man. He came on and he talked, dude.
Oh, he was great with us, man. That's not about that. Yeah,
it's not about anything like that. I'm just saying, as a teammate, it's a distraction. Bad, dude. Like, it is.
And I would think that if you're management there in Vegas, like, you just can't be too happy with that. Like,
fuck,
I don't know, because now, instead of preparing to play, it's like, okay, now the league wants to talk to you. They want to hear what you have to say. And it's like, I know you're saying you're not trying to destroy the NHL. But my feeling is this. Like, if you want to talk to the league, like, you're a player in the NHL. Anybody should have an open-door policy to be able to call the NHL. I always think that should be your first order of business, as opposed to throwing haymakers on social media, where not only does it get everyone's attention, I think it confuses the hell out. Everyone's like, what is he talking about? What is he going on?
I know.
You know, maybe bring it up to your team, bring it up to the league. Let's try to, like, improve the situation if this is truly going down and this is happening and it's not good and it's impacting lives and it's impacting people. I guess this is the best way and the quickest way to get the attention, I guess, versus just calling the league up and being like, yo, you got a problem here. Because you're talking about a specific team, organization, coach, Alain Vigneault.
Yeah, but what does a coach have to do with him?
I know, Alain Vigneault, but, like, you never even played for Vigneault. You never played in Philly. I know, you know, players who play there or maybe played for him in Vancouver or New York, but still, you're singling one guy out. I think when you get caught up in singling individuals out and calling them out, I think that's when maybe we have a little bit of problem, because obviously now everyone's pointing the finger. Everyone's assuming this guy's doing dirty stuff, just handing out.
Wait.
And he's the coach. He's not even the trainer.
That doesn't make any sense, okay? Because the coach and the trainers, when it comes to handing out pills, they have nothing to do with each other. Like, the trainer knows what the fuck to do.
Yeah.
Why would you go to the fucking coach and be like, hey, non-doctor, tell me what I need to give this it doesn't make any sense.
Just give him an Ambien.
It doesn't. I'm just saying, like, like, the trainer's the one that know.
Right.
And I've never had a trainer that over gave me more stuff. I got my shit off the black market because they wouldn't give it to me.
Really?
Yes. They wouldn't give me fucking anything. And I just get it off the black market, which is still god awful.
Now, he's called out Vigneault in the past for the way that he's handled Carter Hart. Okay, if you don't like the way he's handling another goaltender and you want to share that opinion on social media, then do that. But now lumping him in with some other stuff, man, like where a coach isn't on social media, they're not going to come out and defend themselves. Now there's stories being written about it everywhere. This guy is trying to get ready for a season to coach an NHL team in the National Hockey League, and he's got a player who he's never even coached before, essentially calling him out and making people believe that he's like just handing out these pills like they're candy, you know?
It doesn't honestly make any sense, actually. And the guys, even back in the 05, 06. In a lot of the
media, though, Cam, they're like, oh, they're yeah, like, just course, like, yeah. oh, we have a major, major no, issue.
You fuckboys don't know anything. Shut the fuck up. Good. Retweet.
Yeah.
Get out of here. You guys, like, honestly, it's so weird. Like, the coach doesn't hand shit out. The coach has nothing to do with the trainer. The only thing the coach says to the trainer is, can the player play? He's not like, what are you giving them as far as, like, they don't, like, maybe if they get shut up before the game, the coach will know where they're at as far as playing them. But the coach is not a doctor. The trainer's a doctor. They know everything. And they're the ones handing things out. And again, in 05, 06, 07, 08, 09, no one's ever given me more shit than I needed. I got it on my own.
Yeah. You know, I'm all for players having a voice and using social media to increase their brand, to help people, to spread awareness. And I think in the case of Robin Leonard, he's done a lot of that. You know, like mental illness, it's a serious thing.
Yeah,
he's helping people. And that's some stuff that I truly love about Robin Leonard. But, you know, when you just start out of nowhere, like unprovoked, just start blasting people, you just wonder if it's going to have the impact that he's wanting it to have.
Well,
you know
what I
mean?
It's all about him now in the locker room. Everything is about him. It's about him. And whether he wants it or not, like, it is. Dude, you put that on yourself. Like, all the guys that maybe score a hat trick the night before, it's not about you. It's about what Robin said on Twitter.
Well, he's like, you know, sucks. I will not be canceled by the NHL. Well, you may not be canceled, but you are making a paycheck for an NHL team. And if you're going to start throwing daggers and haymakers, man, they're going to want answers. And now you're involved in shit that you maybe, if you would have thought twice, maybe you don't want to be involved
in.
And
we're not saying as a greater good of things, you get the notion out of mental illness and this and that and the other. Like, there's so much more to it. Mm-hmm. But as a player that's currently playing, has five more years left, and a ton
they
of
they just traded away Marc-Andre Fleury, man. And there's a lot of pressure.
Know.
There's more pressure on Robin Leonard entering this season maybe than any other year in his career. You're playing for a team that expects to compete for a Stanley Cup, if not win a Stanley Cup. They've made changes, and everything is geared around winning a Stanley Cup, right, in terms of how their roster is constructed, the players that they signed in free agency, the players they've traded for. Now they trade away the face of the franchise, who's a very, you know, confident, stable, lovable goaltender who is coming off a Vezina trophy. You trade him away because you put all your eggs in the basket of Robin Leonard, and now he starts going crazy. You just want to make sure that he's where he needs to be in terms of where the focus is for the rest of the team in terms of doing everything they can to win. You know what I'm saying?
Man, I'm just saying, dude, you don't want sideshows, dude. I'm just telling
you. And that's what it is. That's what it comes down to. It's okay to have an opinion, Cam.
Yeah.
You just don't want to
because I know
show,
there's
right?
going to be some guys that are like, well, Cam, his words, I know they are, dude. That's not
course,
the point.
Course,
I know they are.
Of course.
He's just a current player. Mm-hmm. And when you're that loud about a lot of things that are tricky to talk about, too, by the way, it's like, yeah, we all know if you're just talking mental illness about things, but you're calling out specific people.
Yeah.
And like, so all the guys walk in the locker room, I'm like, okay, what are we talking about today? Now I have to answer questions about him and what he thinks about. Yeah. And it's political, it's this, it's that, it's crazy.
Robin Leonard told us when he came on, like, he hears from players all the time, and he's helped players behind the scenes, man. I love that. When he's there for other players, players may reach out to him. He talks to players, and he does it not wanting any attention, whatever. And he wants to help people.
Yeah.
And to me, that's what it's all about. But I feel like, in a way, like, he did our podcast. He got a lot of attention on our podcast. We certainly got a lot of attention as well. And it's all good, man. He was great with us.
Yeah.
And he goes on another podcast. And it's like, sometimes I think you can fall in love with, you know, the attention that you get on social media. It can become addictive for some people. And this is where, you know, we talk about social media. Other players have talked about it, coaches, GMs. They talk about the danger of social media, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Is this, you think, what they're talking about? This is where it can become a little bit dangerous
No? Well, this is a nuance.
No, there's different, aspects of the danger.
No,
I understand some of the other stuff they're talking about.
Yeah, the majority of stuff is like, I'm taking a picture of me and three girls
I get that.
Fucking doing
I get
weird
that.
Things
yes,
when I'm married
yes,
or
yes,
something.
Yes, yes, yes.
Which I haven't done.
Mm-hmm. Or stuff,
which I haven't
or,
done.
No, or stuff that maybe you tweeted out like when you
back
were like
in the day,
12, 13,
when
14,
I'm like,
whatever.
Let me hit that thing. Or I'm going to get my mind right. Yeah. Now I don't give a fuck, to be honest with you. There's a time period where I couldn't do any of that. But the point is, no, you're right. But yeah, no, there's a balance. Look, You could have a guy that talks about world peace the whole time. That's a big deal,
LeBron
too.
LeBron James is on social media all the time talking about social issues.
And he takes a beating for it. Like, there's just two. You got to think of the players, too. And there's a balance of everything. You could still keep your momentum as far as, like, keeping, mental health and this just kind of alive with your Twitter and stuff like that. But when you're calling cats out right before training camp, that's kind of like loosey-goosey a little bit, I guess. Like, you didn't play. Like, what did he do? He handed out this, that, what? That's kind of weird.
I think the temperature has been turned up on Robin Leonard. Now it's like, okay, like, not that the pressure wasn't there to begin with, but I think he's brought so much more eyes and attention on him.
I know,
and,
man, I don't know.
And, you know, if he struggles, you know, people are going to think that, you know, from a focus standpoint, that, you know, his mind isn't where it needs to be in terms of, you know, being focused on hockey. But, like, listen, I'm not going to sit here and crush the guy. I just thought...
We're not crushing him.
No,
dude.
I know.
We're being real.
I'm just trying to, like, understand, like, where this came from. Came out of nowhere.
It did. Well, I think him and Carcel... Look, Robin Leonard's going to be more effective when he retires. Mm. If you want to... If this is the biggest thing besides winning a Stanley Cup... Or playing
if it's worth it, right?
If this is more important to you to get people fixed, you need to fucking retire. And you need to work for the NHL and force them to fucking hire you.
Or the PA, whatever.
Or the PA, or what the fuck. But if you're playing hockey, you're not getting your shit done that you want to get. So what's more important? You winning for the franchise or you taking care of business, knowing what you've been through already? You made money, fine. You can fucking void your contract, whatever you want to do, and then quit and then focus on that. It's like either you do a little bit of that and you focus on hockey, or you fucking retire and you focus everything on it, because you can't balance both of it when you play.
Well, it makes me like, you just wonder, you know, you look at the teams he's played for. Like, is it Ottawa? Is it Buffalo? Like, who's he talking about? You know what I mean? Is it Chicago?
So now you got to be cryptic because you're playing on a team. But, so it makes it weird.
But then you call out a coach that you never, I don't know, that you never played for. Andy. And that's where it just didn't make any sense. And let's be honest, even going back to when he played in Ottawa, listen, I heard coaches, players, whatever, you know, he was a different guy, right? I mean, compared to most players in the league, right? Yeah. I mean, he was a different guy. And you know, then all of a sudden his game just completely took off. Whatever, he goes to the Islanders and whatever, and all of a sudden, you know, Vezina finalist. He's given the speech at the award ceremony, helping people, sick not weak, all that type of stuff. Man, I think there's a lot of good and a lot of productivity that he's done and that he's shown throughout the course of his career. You just don't want people to lose sight of that, and all of a sudden now focus on some of this other.
Well, they
stuff,
are.
You know what I
mean, well, they are, and again, this stuff's good, and we'll cut it off now, but. We made our point, but the point is, like, if you're going to be that loud, as an organization, they have the right to, like, kind of muzzle you a little bit, like they should.
Well, just like anything, whoever you work for,
like, I'm fucking sorry. Like, if you don't get vaccinated, you get fucking booted. You keep talking, like, dude, there's shit that you have no control over. You're under contract, homeboy. So the point is, it's like, what do you want to do more? Be an advocate, which is completely fine. And I get what you're saying, man. We agree with shit. Like, I get what you're fucking calling out. I get it, dude. I went through it. I fucking died twice, motherfucker. I've done this
shit.
Well,
if this is going on.
Like, if this is what's going on, like, I get it. But the point is, like, there's a balance to it. You can't be that and be a player at the same time to this extreme. Does that make sense?
A little bit,
to this extreme.
Yeah.
You could point, but like, goddamn, like, would Lou like this? Like, if you're that loud, I don't know. Like,
just call up the league and be like, listen, I'd like to have a meeting. Let's talk. I want to put together a committee of players around the league to get a handle on some of this that's been going on. You know, what
always
I'm saying?
Let us know what you guys think too, man. You know, we listen to you guys. Always write down a comment or whatever. Like, the more comments you have on Camastrick, Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, like, that helps us. Like, tell us what you fucking think. I wish this was goddamn live. We'd have you guys text in like a radio show.
I just know how players, coaches, managers, how they tend to think when certain players are loud like this.
I know.
And so you want it to be heard and not dismissed. And sometimes...
But not distracting.
Correct.
So, yeah. Okay. All right. Hey, Petro, Crosby, McDavid. Is Petro an assistant captain? Crosby, McDavid. Crosby's captain. Team Canada.
I think. Well, those are the first three players that Doug Armstrong has named for Team Canada.
So let's be honest here. So that
you know, what's funny. Those are the first three players I had on my list.
Too. No shit.
I just had
who
a feeling.
Who else you gonna have besides? Who would you have besides Petro? Because of course you're gonna have McDavid and Crosby.
You know what?
Who would you have?
I'm gonna look at guys who have been there before. Obviously, you want some fresh faces and whatever. But even a guy like Drew Doughty, he's a guy that
I wouldn't dismiss him.
I wouldn't dismiss
just
because
he's on a
fuckboy
team. Sorry,
team.
Dudes. I shouldn't say because you have a lot of draft picks. You guys are gonna be fine. I shouldn't say
they're
going to
be better. They got a lot of
young
kids.
They're
going to
be good. You guys are
what are you talking about?
I just apologized. Good God. Sorry. Again, in the comments, let us know. Whatever. But no, I wouldn't dismiss Doughty. I wouldn't dismiss a lot of guys, man. Like, you need some old school cats. But the point is, when you hear the three names, we love Petro.
Yeah,
Kale
McCarr.
Oh, gee.
You know what I'm saying?
How do you beat that motherfucking team? That's going to be so awesome, by the way, the Olympics in China.
Oh, I can't wait.
In China. They're not even allowed to bring their family over there or anything. That sucks.
Is that the word on that?
It's the worst thing in the world.
And the family's like, that's okay. I'm going to watch on TV.
Yeah, let's go to China. Okay. But that's all right. Let them go over there. We're going to watch it. It's going to be badass.
Yeah.
I ain't going, though.
You gotta give the C to Crosby. You can't have Crosby on the team and not give him the C.
Oh, Andy, that's
sorry, McDavid.
Sorry, McDavid. Winners have won.
Yes.
The winners win. Get the thing. You haven't done it yet. And a guy's kiss. I know. I love Connor.
It's going to be a great experience for him to learn how to win.
Learn
or whatever.
How to motherfucking win.
Yeah. From winners.
Sorry.
Yeah.
But you got to win.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't have any. Well, you know what? He turned the goddamn puck over. Mm-hmm. I watched that motherfucking game. And it's like, he needs help. Of course he does.
Yeah.
Everybody needs help until they win, right? It's always a fuck case. But when you are specifically known for that particular instance where you turn the puck over twice. And you didn't do anything.
I'm not about to chirp McDavid. He's pretty damn good, man.
He's unbelievable.
And he can't do it all on his own. He can't. But at the end of the day, it is what it is. You either win or you don't.
That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Like, people want to defend McDavid, but then they want to talk shit and like point the finger at Austin Matthews. Like, it's all the same.
It's all the same.
It's all the same.
Yeah, and you know what? They're both going to win. I hope they both win. I want Austin Matthews to win. He's in a different category than McDavid as far as popularity, hanging out with fucking Bieber. I love that. Why wouldn't you hang out with Bieber? Hey, Bieber's like, Cameron, you want to go fucking watch the UFC? I'm fucking A. And I might walk in front of you so people, the camera's
he's
on like, me like
I
an
bring,
asshole.
Can I bring our goaltender?
Can I bring my what? No. Okay.
Yeah.
Can I bring it? Who? Nope, can't do that either. Fine, I'll go by myself. But if Justin Bieber's hanging out with you, and he's cruising around. Like, that's cool, man.
Awesome,
man.
Wrong with that.
You know, he got jammed up a couple years ago with something stupid. Like, we've all done stupid shit. I don't even give a fuck. Like, the poor girl, she's fine. He probably, like, sent her a letter. It's all good. But also, Matthews is good for fucking NHL, dude.
Yeah.
Like, he's the one cat that's, like, hanging out with big boys doing their shit. Mm-hmm. Like, not secretive making money, but, like, just, like, loud. Like, but there's a balance, Andy. You got to win, dude. You got to win out of the first round and get your credibility.
But I don't really see Matthews doing that much cool stuff on his own. I see him hanging out with, like, Bieber. But
at least he's hanging out with Bieber.
I know. I'm
not a big Bieber guy,
no,
but at least he
loves
hockey.
You are. Dude. I had no idea. You got Bieber fever.
You probably listen to him on your... You probably put your little BMW convertible down.
I'm listening to Justin down in Georgia.
I'm listening to Justin again.
Dude, his songs are pretty good. Sometimes I'm like, wow, this is a pretty good song, and then all of a sudden it's Bieber. He's had some good ones recently.
You would be like that.
I get my peaches down in Georgia.
But you got children, man. They got to listen to that kind of stuff. So you probably.
But I want to see it. Like some of these guys can just get attention on their own. Like, you know, it's not necessarily.
Like who?
I don't know.
Matthew?
Well, NBA players, NFL players.
Well, we're not talking about NBA players.
No,
listen, NBA
saying.
Players don't have fucking face mask on. You can see every part of their body. You know when an NBA player walks into a bar, he's the most popular guy in the fucking room. He's fucking 6 foot
ten.
But
it's not like, hey,
did
you see what Austin Matthews did? Like, I mean, it's like, well, he hung out with Bieber. That's what you're seeing when he's with Bieber.
He made some badass moves. He does his shit. He's taking advantage of being
loud
in Canada.
The only thing I'll say this
about
Matthews, though, don't forget where you came from. Don't forget about your old school boys, too. Like, when you see at the UFC fight and they're sitting in the stands. Don't ignore them just because you're with Bieber.
That's a double cool whammy for me. He's going to watch UFC, which is like the second coolest sport in the league besides football, maybe after hockey. Like, UFC is fucking badass, dude. It's fun. These guys are one of the best athletes in the world. Like, I like when cats, NHL guys go to fucking UFC.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's fucking
but
cool.
But I'm saying, don't forget about your boys.
It's cool. Go to the tennis thing and watch tennis. Hey, like, no, go to the UFC
and
have a party.
Don't forget about your boys that are sitting in the next section over. And all of a sudden, you're ignoring them because you're hanging out. So I'm just saying.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Now
you got to hear what I'm saying.
Bad,
don't do that. You can be like, dude, come on over here.
Come
hang with us, dude. You know, that's what I mean.
Andy, if I was ever hanging out with anybody, cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting down, and I'd be like, get over here and say hey. Yeah. Like, get say the fuck out. I'm saying hey to
meet
everybody.
Meet my boy who plays for X team.
Here, know? Say hey. And you know what? Justin, you say hey to fucking, the boys are fucking grinding too.
Justin's like a super fan. Like, he'd love to meet some of these hockey stars, man. He'd love to be these guys.
Yeah. So I would take everybody down, talk to the fucking big, the bouncers, like, let the boys in real quick. We'll do whatever.
Don't be too cool just because you're hanging out with Bieber, dude. I'm just saying that.
1,000,000,000% agree with you. Good job on that one, Andy. Okay. I chirp you a lot for things. I didn't get what you're saying off that. You're 100%. Yeah. Don't you fucking belittle anybody else in the NHL. Don't you do that, homeboy. That's not the fucking Walt. You think Walt would do that?
Oh, you think
fucking JR would do JR would
no, no,
take?
No, let me say this.
I'm saying.
Yeah. You think Chelios would do that?
You think fucking Chelios would screw?
When he's hanging out with
said
Kid
something
Rock,
stupid to him one time.
Yeah, but when, when he's hanging out with Kid Rock, when Kid Rock is a megastar.
He would bring all the boys up.
He brings all of them.
All of them up, dude. That's what. You want to be cool in the NHL? Honestly. You want to be a fucking superstar? You take care of the other guys, man. You be the fucking, be the man. Don't separate yourself like I'm too, fuck that. Mm-hmm. The guys will beak you for the rest of your fucking life.
Now invite us with you.
I'm just saying, because I played, okay. I'm just like, you know.
We want to go to the UFC fight.
Dude, I like how they go to the UFC fights, man.
Hang
UFC
out with
fights
Bieber.
Are the coolest, dude. They're just, all the cool cats go there. Tom Brady, all the boys.
Oh, hell
go.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
All I the feel rock like Brady's stars. Like the best teammate.
Brady's one of the coolest guys ever. And if you don't like him, understand.
You know who's overrated cool?
Who?
I just never like, and I'm probably going to get chirped for this.
Oh, boy.
Really bad.
Who?
But I just never really
I might
saw
agree with
it.
You.
Like, I feel it with a guy like Tom Brady. I feel it. Like
He's a nerd, but he's
like
fucking
Derek
awesome.
Jeter. I don't know, man. I just like.
Nah, he banged a lot of hot
he did,
vagina.
He did.
Very hot vagina.
He did. But he was so quiet. And kept things so close to the vest.
Yeah.
You never really see him cut loose. You
okay,
know what I mean?
So here's
Brady, because Brady will cut loose, man. You see him doing videos and stuff like that with Peyton Manning and some of these guys. And you see his personality. He's golfing, doing this golf stuff.
I get you.
I don't see a lot of that from Jeter. I think the cool side and his real personality is kept right.
Okay. If you're going to look at the cool factor of big-time celebrities as far
cool,
as athletes,
man.
I'm like, that motherfucker's up there.
You
he's
don't get
smashing
much bigger than him.
Beautiful women. He never got in a fucking jam. He never looked stupid in any way. Tom Brady fucked up a couple of times with stupid things, with Deflategate and shit, with ruin. People hated him. Like, Derek Jeter, squeaky clean, and you're able to have sex with that many good-looking women, and no one bullshitted you and said you had a small penis or anything weird. Mm-hmm. Not that I know of. And that guy's Slick Rick, dude. Fuck that.
He used to make everyone that came inside his apartment up there in New York. He'd make everyone
get like a drug test.
Their phone at the door.
Oh, God, yeah.
No phones. That's what I do when people come over to my house. I just like, can you put your phone down for a second?
Meanwhile, you're on your phone the whole fucking time. People are trying to talk to you, and you're just tweeting things out about that American League player.
That American League player.
Oh, shit.
So Quinn Hughes gets his contract extension.
Yeah.
And let's see. Patterson gets his contract extension.
Yeah,
right?
He did. Yeah, he did.
Right? So Brady Tkachuk, they were all like living together.
Oh, yeah.
In Michigan, all three of them. In Quinn Hughes' house.
I'd have fun there. That'd be cool.
And now they left, so now he's by himself up there in Michigan skating, whatever, with the U.S. program and stuff like that. But so they got their deal signed. Listen, I'm sensing like a little bit of growing frustration like out of Ottawa, but I don't think people really have like the real story and the full news, like in terms of what's going on with the Senators and the Tkachuks. And I feel like the Tkachuks have been very, very quiet throughout this entire process. Or is it process? Is it process?
I feel like
process?
You know, but you're trying to set this up
Hold
like
on.
You don't know what the fuck you're talking
Hold
about.
On.
You do.
Is it process or process?
Doesn't matter.
Oh, you don't know?
If you're Canadian or not. It's process. If you're Canadian. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah.
You know about what's going
so
on.
I
just fucking
so
say
So I'm hearing on like different like media. You know, it's like, hey, there's the fans are getting frustrated. Everyone's getting frustrated.
Oh, shit.
Listen, here's what it comes down to. In a nutshell, here's what it is. The Tkachuks want a bridge deal, and Ottawa doesn't want to sign Tkachuk to a bridge deal. They want to do a 7 or 8 year deal, and Brady Tkachuk doesn't want to sign a 7 or 8 year deal. You know, but don't confuse that with him not liking Ottawa. Because I will say this, and you know Brady's personality. He's been on with us, obviously known him for a long time. This guy is loved by every teammate he ever plays with. He loves being in Ottawa. He loves the organization, the staff, and all that. But obviously, it's negotiations, and I think a lot of the talk right now is coming from Ottawa. There was a period of time, like last week, where they didn't even hear from the Senators for like 4 or 5 straight days. And I think they've been sharing and putting it out there with the media in Ottawa. Oh, we're talking every day and whatever. Like, you're not even talking to him 4 or 5 straight days without even hearing from you. Listen, he'll sign a contract. He doesn't want to sign long term. I think he wants to probably know, this is my words now, you know, what's the future of the franchise? And, you know, Matthew Tkachuk, he signed a 3-year deal coming out of entry level. Then he'll have 1 year before he becomes a UFA. Listen, players nowadays who are in position, most players aren't in this position. Yeah. They want to dictate where they play and where they go. But, hey, Ottawa, you want to get this guy signed, do a bridge deal and then try to do it again. Yeah. They want to lock him up 7 or 8 years. I get it. But you know what? If that's where the standstill is at some point in time, they're going to have to budge.
Yeah, I get it. Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Straight up.
Yeah.
Who would you take? Mm-hmm. Brady or Pettersson?
Man.
Now, don't fuck with me. You answer every goddamn question with, hey, you go on all these radio, you can't answer this goddamn question for me. I finally give you a straight up fucking question.
Yeah.
Who would you take for the long haul, 8-year deal, if you had to pick one, same contract?
And Pettersson did a 3-year deal too, by the way.
I know. I'm saying lock the fuck up. This is your guy that you are building your team and franchise. Yeah. It's going to be your captain. Who?
That's easy for me. Well, to be your captain?
Just to be the, No. Just to be like who, If they wanted the same money, mm-hmm. same everything, who you picking?
Well, same money. Well, listen, it'd be hard for me to pass up on Brady Tkachuk because knowing him personally and whatever, like what he brings to the table, the family, like
Pettersson's slick though, dude.
Pettersson is a generational talent and a generational sniper, dude. The way that he scored, most guys in the world can't release the puck the way that he can. Like his release is smooth.
He's Datsuk. Weird.
Oh my God, it's crazy. That's
too weird.
It's and he doesn't look that big off the ice.
No, he's gained
some
weight.
But I will say this, in terms of personalities and people and who you want to build your franchise around.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm taking Brady Tkachuk.
No shit.
Brady Tkachuk.
How the fuck do you pass?
Because I think Pettersson,
crazy.
You know, I think he's rubbed a few people the wrong way. Even, you know, when he first came into the league, how he handled
the
media.
It's not just about skill, dude.
No.
It's about who you could just build your motherfucker.
But he's
sick. Who do we just have on our show just now?
Who talk it?
Talk it. Like
should have asked him that question.
I know. We did have talk it on, guys. He might be one of my favorites.
Oh.
He might,
what did I tell you before the interview?
I know. I listen to you.
But I said he might be the coolest guy we have.
He's
on.
The fucking, oh my God.
I hope he doesn't go back into coaching.
Can he come on our show?
Can he just like be our co-host?
Can he hang out with us, Andy? So nerdy. Give a fuck.
I know.
He is. This dude just speaks, man. Like everything he told me, I'm like, I believe everything you fucking said. Like, I just believe you. Like if you're coach, I'm like, what do you need me to do, homie? Like,
how come nobody is like right off the bat when you ask him about Lindros. How come they're not like, dude, he's the best ever?
I'm sorry to be a dick, but when I ask somebody if they're a fucking good guy when it comes to hockey, and they're like, yeah, he's a good guy. I just know something's up.
Yeah.
But if I ask you, how's that fucking jam? Oh, if you get that, you know you're good. But if you get the, yeah, he's a good guy. Then you know there's a hesitation. Mm-hmm. I've said this before. So what is that hesitation? You get my drift?
No, I get it. I'm just...
Jesus. Look at me. I'm making no sense.
No, I get
it's
that.
It's very simple. Or, oh.
Especially with those guys. Like, if I ask them about another player and right off the bat, they're like, oh, this guy's the best. Nah, and then all of a sudden you ask them about somebody else and they're like, he's interesting.
But even like, okay, I'll give an example. Like Anton Volchenkov.
Great shot blocker.
Oh, he was so funny. He couldn't speak a word in English, never said anything, just smiled. And if you asked me about Volchi, I'd be like, oh, Lord, EB. He would hang out with us every night, not say a word, just laugh at everything. Mm-hmm. No, like you couldn't even tell what he's saying to you.
Yeah.
But he was the sweetest dude. If you said, what's up with Volchi? Oh, God. But you said something about maybe somebody else, I'd be like, meh, yeah.
Hey,
he's good.
Speaking of Russians.
What?
I think Vladimir Tarasenko's in a great spot now, man.
Great spot.
He's happy, he's smiling, he's in great shape.
Waving at fans. He's going to get a standing O when he goes out for the first game. They'll fucking cheer his ass.
He's going to have
a
great season. I'm feeling it.
He's going to be like, fuck everything else.
And he's playing with good players, and he's playing with like Robert Thomas, who just like gets him the puck.
He looks really good. I don't want to be too blue, but he looks really
good. No, I know. And they've got this kid, Jake Neighbors, too. They got this kid, Jake Neighbors, too. Who's
like, and you know what? Montreal's kid. Like, we got this kid, oh boy. And then we got this kid over here.
But some
we
players just fit in with that organization. Every team has that. But he's like a fit. Listen, you have that 10-game rule for a reason, man, where you let these guys stick around. I don't know how you don't use it unless you're so stacked that you just can't, like, you just can't keep them.
Well, that's why you sent Bolduc down. Like, he's 2 years in the juniors. His cat's 5 years in, but Neighbors isn't old enough to go to the American League. He's not 20 yet, right. So he can't go to the American League. So what do you do with him? You can send him down to juniors for his fifth year, whatever it is.
Him go play in the World Juniors and whatever.
And that's fine.
And he's on a good team in Edmonton, whatever, with the Oil Kings. But, like, why wouldn't you just want him to be around?
Hang with the buddies. Come on the road. Let him hang out with fucking Ryan O'Reilly and Perry. Yeah. Room him. Well, not room him, Perry. Everybody gets their own room, except for him. But do have fun with the kid and show him how to be a fucking man. And on a jet, you want to go down to juniors and get in that fucking. Were you playing in the Western League? Where's he at?
Edmonton, Oil Kings. Oh,
how fun. Let's go back to Edmonton this year and go on that 15-hour bus ride. Fuck that. When you're cruising private with all the boys, they're taking care of every meal you have. You get a wad of cash before you go on a fucking 3-day road trip. Hey, get on with yourself.
I try to say nice things about James Neal, too. And, like, all the Edmonton fans, like, listen, all the Edmonton boys, Calgary, they start coming at me about, like, James Neal and whatever. But, like
they don't like.
Well, I don't know. They start going crazy. You know, listen. You know what James Neal says, though? You talk to him? It's just a different culture here versus some of those other.
I know.
You know what I'm saying?
I know.
He doesn't have to come here and score 20, 25.
No, this organization's top notch, dude. It's like the Devils.
It's like a great top fit.
I'm sorry, Devils, like, but when Lou was in charge, the Devils were fucking top notch. They didn't have the best anything, but they were top notch.
And listen, I want to give a shout out real quick because he's a past former guest, whatever. And I know it's St. Louis, whatever. But congrats to Doug Armstrong. Gets his 5-year contract extension, dude. Of course. What a career this guy's had. Oh, like, he just keeps getting one. Like a fire.
They love him.
He's like a player.
They love him here. He's a celebrity here, but he doesn't want to be. But he doesn't bullshit. He doesn't. Mm-hmm. He's not loud.
No.
He doesn't fucking crave attention. None of that shit. No. But they love him here.
Well, they trust him.
They trust him.
It is. They trust him.
They trust.
But when I say he's like a player, I mean he just gets like these 4 and 5 year deals. All that. He's just like, you know, it's just like,
well, yeah. Well, he's good.
Gets paid like a player,
and he doesn't crave attention. Like I kind of like that. Like your owner needs a little bit of attention. Tom does it perfectly too, but it's like there's always a balance. But this Doug just, he just does his shit.
Yeah. we give a shout out to the former guests.
By the way, Dougie, I know you're listening. I'm getting a little bit better at golf. I am. I got my.
He would ever take us golfing?
Not you. You are way far behind,
dude.
I want to be able to invite him to St. Albans. I want to get a big dick club going on, and I'm still not there yet, but I'm just letting them know.
I got some transportation for that.
I'll get my boys to pick his. Get on.
Your boys.
Fuck yeah.
Like your radio listeners.
Yeah.
Hey, can you go pick up Army?
I do. Like, I'll get people to pick his ass up, I swear to God. But anyway, we got Rick Tockett coming on.
Yeah, dude, the best. People are going to love this interview, man. I say that all the time, but it's just true.
It's unbelievable. He's awesome. You'll see.
We weren't even going to, like, release his interview today. We've got some other ones in the bank that are really good.
No, we need
But we're like, okay, it's timely. Real quick, TNT, any thoughts on that?
I don't know. I got to watch it again. Mm-hmm. I thought Ricky was cool. Anson Carter's all right.
You're not a fan of Anson Carter,
I feel. He just doesn't make me laugh, or I don't know. Probably a great guy. I don't know yet. Can I get another? Let me look.
You need another episode.
I want to see Busy Boy. I want to see fucking Shelley. I want to see fucking Babcock.
Well, they're on the. What's Babcock?
No, he's not doing anything. No. Never mind. Not Babcock. No, Tortorella.
Torts. That's ESPN.
Well, whatever.
With Chelios, I'm going to compare. Whatever.
Okay. You're right.
Is Chelios even doing that?
I don't know. I just want to compare everything together. I'm not there yet, but. Mm-hmm. I watched it there and it was all right. I told you my son got suspended for 8 years.
You don't have a son.
You're right, but I said that to.
Did I scare him? No, kids around the league are doing it. Kids around the country.
Hey, did I scare Tockett when I said that?
We're going to start, although kids don't get cross checked in front of the net anymore either. So.
Well, I go, Tockett, I go, my son played and he took your advice about kicking the guy in the girl. Yeah, he's suspended for That's 8 years.
Great move, though. Is that dirty?
You fucking ain't. You out of here. You kick me in my nuts, I'm killing you. I'm fucking killing you.
Would you?
Andy.
Did you ever snap?
Yeah, a couple times.
Give me like one.
Was
it in England?
Oh, I'll show you a video of it.
Was it in England? No. Did you get upset?
Nah. Everybody was so respectful of me in England. No, it was in the minors in 04.
Really?
Yeah. Jan Platil tried to kick me in my neck with a skate.
Oh, shit.
I lost my mind. It was Christian Knight.
He tried. No.
That's the night. I lost it.
In front of the fans?
In front of the Christian
folks. Oh, that's not what they came to see.
They were crying. Children were crying. men and women were like, oh, cradling their child. They're hating hockey. It's Titanic
they're
sinking.
Protesting outside of the arena the next game.
They were praising Jesus.
Cancel hockey.
The Lord, there was a light that shined down. It just couldn't be stopped.
And you're going crazy like a psychopath?
No shirt on.
Oh!
Helmet still on. It is on YouTube. It is Psychoville. And Rob Skrlak beating up Ray Emery. I mean, fucking, he's trying to step on me, this fuck. And I wanted to kill him. And the children are like, oh, help us, mother and father. Help the Lord, help us. And I'm like, rah, rah, rah. There's Satan. Satan. I'm like, no, I'm actually a good guy. Bah, 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 bah. God, dude. So I'm going to go to hell is what's going to happen.
Well, you just got to you just gotta know the room. You know, sometimes you got to read the room.
He's trying to kick me in the face. Let's get to some sponsors. We got to go.
Our hair club, by the way. Let's touch on that real quick before we
You want to. It's the most embarrassing thing in the world when you look at yourself and your hair is fucking falling out. It's god-awful. Everybody's like, what do I do? Well, you go to Hair Club. Look up Hair Club. They got all kinds of different places all over the fucking United States. I'm telling you right now, they have so many different offshoots. Look at everything they can do. I've gotten it done. I still have a cul-de-sac in the back of my head, but the front part of my head looks goddamn sexy. If you look at me straight upon, I got the surgery done with Hans Wyman here in St. Louis. It was the easiest thing. It's called the Artist Robot, the only one around for a while, but it was easy peasy. I watched a movie while they did it. They just take little strips in the back of your head.
What movie were you watching?
Legends of the Fall with Brad Pitt, really? Who looked so sexy. I'm like, I'm finna look like that. So here's what they do. It's not a strip. They don't take it. It's not a scar in the back of your head. They take big plucks of all your healthy hair in the back of your head. Mm-hmm. You look at all the bald people. They still have hair in the back of the fucking head. So they pick out that and they implement it into the bald spots in your forehead and they spread it out so you could get your own hairlines.
That's amazing. They have a solution for everybody. Let me say this. When I say solution for everybody, depending on what you need, like everything is tailored to your own need. That's why I say it's like having a personal trainer for your hair. Because it really is. Over 1,200 locations throughout North America. So, like, no matter where you're at right now listening, unless you're in, like, Australia or something, I don't know. They may probably have one there, too.
They might have one there.
But if you're in North America, you probably have one within arm's reach. Yes. It's, like, right down the street.
It's an easy thing to get done, and you feel so good. And it all grows back organically. And, like, it takes, like, you know, months, man. And all of a sudden, you look in the mirror, like, 3 weeks later, like, I see it growing. You get a haircut, and the girl's like, you got hair growing. Would you get something done? I'm like, fucking A right. Like, I can't even tell. I just know that you have nice follicles coming out of your head. And I'm like, do I look sexier? I'm like, God damn right. Then you have a makeout session. It's awesome. I'm just joking. I didn't do it. I'm a married guy. Yeah. I was joking. But if you weren't married, you probably could.
Okay. Legends of the Falls, you said?
Legends of the Fall. Brad Pitt. Mm. Unbelievable movie, actually.
All right. Hair Club. Listen, give them a call today. Check them out online, hairclub.com.
Yeah,
man. They'll just hook you up. Love hockey, too, man.
Oh, big boy hockey fans.
They love hockey. CarShield, they love hockey, too. I saw CarShield skate a couple times this past weekend. My nephew was in town from Indianapolis playing in a showcase.
Cute.
CarShield, CarShield.com. Mention that promo code CAM. You're going to save 10%.
It's easy. C-A-M.
Yeah, save 10%. You never know when something's going to go down.
It's embarrassing when shit goes down and you need something. It's easy. You just pay monthly, and it's just like, boom, they fix it. Like, okay. Like, it's so goddamn easy. It's just less stress. We all have stress. This is less stress. That's what you want.
Less stress.
Less stress.
We want more stress.
I used to have a lisp, by the way, when I was back in.
You kind of still do.
No, it's because I have a chew in my mouth. Here's the deal. I used to not have a lisp. It was a speech impediment, and I couldn't say the aw.
You couldn't say the R?
I couldn't say any Strickland. Oh, yeah. And I pissed the bed for a while. I told you that.
Oh, my God.
I was
God.
A motherfucking
Dude, you're a
disaster.
Mess. Whoa. No wonder your parents didn't have another kid after
Yeah, they
you.
Did. Well, no shit. Two demon childs pissing all over the fucking place.
That is terrible. Dude, get a hold of yourself, dude.
I pissed. I told you.
Hey, actually, there's nothing wrong with that.
I pissed myself. Just all you cats out there, if you have a lisp or you can't say the word R until a late age and you wet the bed, you could still be a shit-kicking motherfucker, you know, and have a hot wife.
Yeah, you can be.
Yeah. You just got to make them laugh every 2 seconds, I guess. You got to make your wife laugh, dude. If you can't do that, then you're fucked.
When's the last time you pissed the bed? Like, how far back are we going? Like,
8 years old. I don't do it when I'm drunk either.
8 years ago.
Never did when I'm drunk either. Nope. I had girls piss on me.
I don't understand how you can be that drunk.
To piss yourself? Yeah, you can.
Really?
Yeah, well. You just haven't partied hard enough. But I
no, I have. I've never blacked out in my life ever.
No, well.
Have you?
Well, fuck. I roofied myself one time. I told you.
Where you just don't know you're falling asleep?
No, I roofed myself at a concert one time. It was the stupidest thing in the world. I don't know why I did it. We don't have time to get into it. Just keep going.
I've passed out. I've never blacked out.
Good.
There's a difference. Okay.
Yeah, it's the same thing. You're not remembering.
My tolerance is amazing. Yeah.
You're a big guy.
Car Shield, man, call him today. Again, your computer goes out, your engine, your starter. You never know what's going to go out. But you are protected. Just know that if you have Car Shield.
Yeah.
Give him a call today, 800-857-2481. 800-857-2481. How about Bellman? Bellman.com. I've been thinking about a new car right now. Like,
let me get an Escalade. How about you be unique for once?
Well, that's instead very unique.
No. Because all your little fancy fuck boys in your little neighborhood, they all drive the same fucking shit. Why don't you be something different? Why don't you be different? Like, what's that wealthy guy down the road that I look up to? He's driving that. I want to get that. How about you fucking find something that you like? That's what they got at Bellman. They're not just fancy boys going in there. They got all kinds of good old construction workers, cool cats, not just people that want to copy off their little wealthy area of the wealthy part of wherever you're from.
So, like, what would fall in that category?
I don't know.
Like
an Escalade or something?
A BMW or something.
I have no idea. I just went on a rant.
That's the best part, though, about Bellman, because you've got lots of options.
Yeah, I know. Escalades are really nice, actually.
They're super nice. That new one is so nice.
You convinced me.
And you can get the Buick Enclave, though. I know you're looking at that. The frosted white with captain seats.
Yeah.
You can get that. They've got the GMC, dude. It's just loaded with options. I love all the GMCs, the Acadias, whatever. They have the Denalis.
Well, I want that Denali, that 3/4-ton Denali diesel. Yeah, yeah. Shit kicker.
I know you do. Well, across the street, they've got the Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.
Yeah.
I can see you in a Dodge, dude. I can see you in a Dodge.
I just like Yellowstone.
Dodge makes nice trucks,
dude. They
got
great trucks, homie.
Yes, yeah.
Great trucks.
And I can see you in a Chrysler minivan. They make great minivans. I could see you driving a minivan.
I don't do bullshit like that.
You don't do the minivan?
I don't do any bullshit. Why the fuck would I get
a
minivan?
No, a lot of people need the minivan. A lot of moms out there.
I ain't got no kids.
And they're listening.
Okay?
The moms are listening.
I ain't got no kids. Why would I get a minivan? I don't have any kids. For my cat?
Well, the door's open on both sides. Dude.
I don't care. I don't want to put anybody in there. No one's allowed to drive my car anyway. People drive me around, Andy.
Yeah, me too. As a matter of fact. Okay. Your radio listener. That's a true thing. He has his radio listeners pick him up. It's like the weirdest thing ever.
And they will pick me up.
Stop doing that. You don't know what's like where they're taking you. Hey. And like they could be crazy. Like you'll have people you've never met or even talked to just come to your house and pick you up. You got to stop doing that.
Kidnap me. I'll bag them up.
Well, you never
know. They might. There's some crazies out
there. You got to let people know get a picture of the license plate in case you're missing.
I talk to people like I've met them for 18 years.
Can't say
I don't do it. And it's like they're picking my wife up. They're picking me up. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with me?
Can't say you're ours. I'm glad you were able to work on that.
Oh, it's God.
That shows perseverance.
I've had good grades my whole life until my freshman year.
And then what happened?
I've said, I'm a hockey player. And I like girls.
Well, you can like girls and get good grades.
Sure.
I mean, well, a lot of people do.
I was distracted every day. I'm sorry. I was distracted. Oh, shit on my mind, baby.
Okay. Daredevil hockey. The ultimate protection. I saw a kid get cut open in the top of the thigh.
Yeah.
By a skate about a week or two ago, and I hooked him up with Marco Koliakovo from Daredevil hockey, and this guy is ordering Daredevil protection for two teams that he coaches.
Good.
Not one, but two. And he's like, I'm never going to deal with that again. Don't wait for your player or your son, your daughter to get cut and then order. I'm wanting people to get out in front of this. So I understand, like, you get cut and then you're like, okay, everybody's getting it. I get that. But I want some of these people out there to say, you know what? I'm not going to live through that. I'm not going to live through the experience of going to the emergency room, having my son or daughter getting cut, having my player getting cut, and then react to that. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I get it, man. It's a pain in the ass. You don't want to get cut. It turns the kids off. And it happens a lot, man. Even in like a men's league games and shit like that. So you just got to protect yourself.
Protect yourself. Yeah, use that promo code Cam and Strick. You're going to save 25%, all caps on that one. All right, listen, I need you to talk about the my custom sports chairs, because this thing is taking the world by storm, like just like on its shoulders, carrying it around the rest of North America, being like, look at me, because look what we can do. All this stuff, 100% Canadian made. It's all good in any type of weather. And you can have a custom chair that reflects any team that you want, like your favorite hockey team, your favorite junior team, Canada, USA, NFL, baseball, whatever it is. You use that promo code Cam and Strick, you're going to save 20%. I think now the promo code is Cam and Strick 20. Is that right, Brody? Cam and Strick 20. So make sure you have that 20 at the end of it, and you're going to save a big time amount of money in terms of your savings. But you can get your favorite team, whatever that is. Like, what's your favorite team, Cam? You have a favorite team?
I mean, you know.
No, what's your favorite team?
Cam and Strick.
You can get a Cam and Strick chair.
I mean, I get Devils because I played there. I don't want to get a Blues one. Everybody's got a Blues one, you know. But if I'm a Blues fan, I'd get one. But for me, I got Devils with Jansen.
And then you pick your name and number on the back. So if you're like a Maple Leafs fan.
What name and number do you pick?
And you want Sundin? I can't say it. It's going to be a surprise. But you want Sundin on the back?
Yeah.
And then like number 13. Did you know he was number 13?
Yeah. He was 11 in Quebec.
Was he? Oh, that's good. That's good. So you can do whatever you want.
I could be wrong on that.
Any player. I don't know.
Throw it out there.
I don't know if that's true.
I could get beaked for this. I love all y'all.
So if you're a Blackhawks fan, you want to get 88 Kane, whatever it is, no matter what team, hook it up and support our sponsors. It's always very, very important. Always support local legend as well, Cam, before we get to Rick Tocchet, man. BeALocalLegend.com. Use that promo code STRICK. What's the promo code?
Strick.
Yeah, yeah. You'll save 10%, man. Mm-hmm. And they've got some new stuff. I've got a new shirt for you, actually, in the car. They made Blues colors. They have all different colors, whatever. If you want to get this local legend gear, they've got great hats. At Be A Local Legend on Instagram.
Easy peasy, baby. And they got awesome hats. And you know what? Someday you might be a local legend. Andy, you're from here.
Well, what would you...
You got the local part, right?
Yeah. What would you consider a local legend?
I don't know, probably Patty Maroon. You need four like a Stanley Cups or something?
Like, I mean,
somebody, the first kid ever to make it to the NHL could be
a coach.
The first kid ever to make it from, you know, House Springs, makes it to the NHL, plays a long time, was very handsome, played in his hometown, has a
Paul Stastny?
Set what? But yeah, Paul Stastny. You know, guys like that.
Hey, but they've got unreal swag though. If you like the hats, t-shirts, hoodies. I mean, seriously, check these out. Great logo. I love the logo, too. I'm waiting for you to put this out. I mean, are you ever going to put it on Instagram?
I wear all their shit.
A pitch man or not?
I wear all their shit. I wear their shit.
Yeah.
And I do shit that has their shit on it, and they like it. I'm going to put a badass post
Do you need
out.
Kate to do your Instagram? Do you need, like,
yeah, kind
do
of.
You need like 1991 Halloween decorations for you, like you to for you to like put those? It on Instagram? I mean, come on.
Those are cute.
And Kate does it all for you. You don't even do anything.
I do it.
They've got the Rocks glasses, all different types of glasses, and they've got that laser image of the local legend on there, too. Lady Legends.
Yep.
Don't forget about the Lady Legends as well.
Jency Dunn comes to mind.
Jency Dunn is a lady legend here in the Lou. I would think of other lady legends like Mayom.
I played with Pascal. He's an awesome guy.
Pascal's the man.
Yep.
I covered Pascal when he was here.
Good
early
for you,
2000s.
Andy.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Okay.
So I covered Pascal. What the fuck does that mean?
He was here.
I played with him.
He played for
you
the Blues.
You covered him. So funny.
Super nice guy.
Great guy.
One of the nicest people ever.
He's our captain.
Pascal Rayom. Was he?
Yep.
Your captain?
Yes, he was, Andy. Wow.
Okay, well, he's a local legend for sure. At Be A Local Legend on Instagram. Check that out. Use that promo code Strick, baby. All right, Rick Tocchet, episode 154. All right, this edition of the Cam and Strick podcast. The Cam and Strick podcast is brought to you by CarShield. You know, nothing more frustrating, Cam, than when that engine light comes on, and you know right off the bat, you're going to have to spend thousands of dollars to repair your vehicle. Call 800-857-2481. Mention the promo code CAM or visit carshield.com and use the code CAM to save 10%. Yeah. That's carshield.com. A deductible may apply. Save yourself money. Cam. Sign up and get your coverage now with carshield.com. Cam. Now to the interview.
This number is using RoboKiller to screen their call.
Screening your calls, eh, Ricky?
Hey, listen, who's that lady talking that we just called? You got like a recording saying that you're screening our calls there. Talk.
I screen spam calls.
Oh, that Andy's phone's a spam call. That's
Wait,
for damn sure.
Do you know that? I've never heard that voice recording ever. Yeah, do you know who that is?
No, I did. Surprised I went into. I bought that whatever that app RoboCop because I was getting a lot of spam calls. So the one thing I don't like about it, it doesn't allow numbers that you want to allow. I gotta figure this thing out.
You're such a coach, by the way. Listen, this is what I like about you because you're on time, you're ready.
Yes, he is.
Cam tried to push me a minute late. I wasn't going to let it happen, and I get the text from Rick, and he's like, I'm fucking ready.
Rick, can I explain, can I explain something to you real quick? By the way, we just recorded. Yeah. I hate people that are late. I hate it. I was never late. Even if I didn't sleep the night before, I was never late for anything. Tell me that's like the biggest pet peeve as a coach. And he's late all the goddamn time.
So let me ask a question. You guys all played. How many wake-up calls or how many alarms did you have? In the morning?
Not one.
Never?
Not one.
Not one.
Didn't need it. It's in my head.
Oh, yeah, right.
Bullshit.
Would you make your roommate wake you up?
Hell no. I woke his ass up.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, you guys had roommates? You guys had roommates?
Oh, God, yeah. Dude, we had roommates. Yeah, remember? And then they changed it in 2012 when the new CBA came in. And so finally, before that, you had to have 600 games. 600 games, over 600 games to not have a roommate. That is so ridiculous.
Well, I'm joking because I used to have roommates. You know, listen, I started in 84, and I remember room with Timmy Kerr, big guy, trying to make the team, rookie, and I was his roommate, right? Snored all night, played the game. I swear to God, you have to play the game on adrenaline. I got by half decent. Next night, I forget, we went to Chicago, same thing, he's snoring. Played like shit, same thing again, and finally I had to go to the team service guy. You know, I said, hey, listen, can I get a new roommate? Well, so anyways, Tim McCurb before the game goes, hey, what's your problem, kid? You don't like me? Like, he obviously was joking around, but I felt, felt pretty shitty. But after that, I was Dave Poole, and after that, then I had my own room. I just had my contract, so I had my own room for most of my career. I'm a light sleeper.
I love it. And that's what you do when you're Rick Tockett. Yep. You say, because Cam, listen, he's told stories. He had Jan Stastny as a roommate.
Oh, Jesus, Murphy. Oh.
And he would snore like crazy. He said he wanted to throw him out the window.
I would have thrown my own teammate out the window. I was thinking about it, Rick. I was thinking about it.
Well, listen, you need your sleep, right? And when a guy snores, you got no chance of sleeping. I used to just rip the – one time there – then I had another room. I forget the guy's name, but I would rip the covers off, and then that would wake him up. You know what I mean?
Craig Berube?
No, the chief. Yeah, the chief. Chief lived with me. Chief lived with me for about 2-3 years.
Yeah.
We were with the Flyers. Yeah, he was a great roomie. Chief was the best.
Oh, my
great
God. Great room. Who else lived there? Did Melamy live there too?
No, Scotty lived up the road, so we'd hang out, me, Scotty, Chief. We used to go out a lot together. We used to bust Mel's balls. He used to have he bought a 318 BMW red convertible.
Oh,
the little small one.
Yeah, if you ever see Mel, just say, "How's it? Did you drive a 318 red convertible?" Yeah,
playing for the Flyers the wind now. You
know, with that mullet cruising around. Yeah. Oh, I could see that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, down to the Jersey Shore. Oh, yeah, that was Scotty.
Oh, yeah, the shore. I remember that place.
But, Rick, you ever have a roommate, though, that you just couldn't stand, though, Rick? Like, the outside of the one you just talked about, like, did you have a roommate where you just, you're an established player, and then you just have a roommate, you have a young kid, it's just not for you. I guess you didn't deal with that, I guess. I mean, I guess you were smart enough to go to the team services guy and say, I'm not having a roommate, which is a legendary move by you.
I got to tell you, I played 18 years, a lot of different – I had just a couple of roommates early in my career, but even not really, most guys are pretty good guys. Actually, I roomed with Eric Lindros one when I got traded to Flyers one night. They forgot that in my contract, in my own room. But
how was that, by the way? How was that?
You know, Eric was an interesting guy. He was a good guy. Just the one night there, but the problem is, remember, he had that concussion and he was out for the rest of the year. I never saw him. I got traded there. The weekend he got hurt and then he left. And that was that thing with Bobby Clark and the big rift with the Flyers there. And then he came back. Remember, he got hit by Scott Stevens. It was weird. You know, he's a hell of a player. It's just unfortunate what happened.
Well, we've had all these guys on.
I know. We've had everyone you talk about. Everyone describes him the same way as interesting, you know?
Yeah, they're like, okay. And I don't mean to be like this, but when you ask a hockey guy, hey, is he a good guy? If he's a good guy, you say, yo, God, oh, he's the best. But if he's not, you have that hesitation a little bit because there's something that you got to think about without just directly saying he's a good guy.
Like you did about Chief and Melamy.
Hey, more to tell him, by the way.
So you don't have to answer that if you don't want.
I'm just saying. I always say that. It's all good.
I think Chief said the same thing. Remember about Big E? I think Chief, when we had Chief on, we asked him about the Big E. I think his exact words were the same thing you
said. Exact same answer. It's the funniest thing in the world. It's all good.
Well, you know what? You got to remember, like, he, you know, as a young kid, he was, you know, very polarizing guy. Everyone, you know, I think sometimes he just thought everybody wanted a piece of him and stuff. And somebody was, he was a very guarded guy, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, when you get in that locker room, you know, the best teams for me are when guys aren't guarded and they trust their teammates, and you know, the locker room is just, you know, it's kind of your haven. So he was a little guarded for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, but he's a great player. Obviously, a great player
for sure, man.
Yeah, he was okay.
Yeah, he wasn't bad. All right, so you've been in the league really since 1984, and now you're like doing the television stuff. Like, I know you've done it once. It was one day, but like, did you enjoy it? Did you say to yourself, "Well, I can just do this for the next year or two?" Or are you like, okay, calling your agent, be like, get me back behind the bench as soon as possible?
I got to tell you, I'm not just saying to grab the check and whatever. This TNT is first class. I mean, they want to make this, you know. They want to do this right. They don't, you know, they'll admit it. They're trying to understand the game and which way to go. They're really, they want us to really help them. They ask us, hey, what do you think here and there? They're very unconventional. Like, I don't know what the other night, if you watched, I was telling them, I was joking around, and you guys can understand that, you know, that new cross checking. Well, I used to hate when you're in front of net, just as a shot from the point, the D would cross check you, right? You go down your head. A few times those pucks, you know, zip by your face. Most of my fights were because of a defenseman did that. So what I did, I remember the late, great Brad McCrimmon. I love that guy. He told me, listen, when a guy crosses you, flip your stick, there's your skate up. Get your skate right up in the, right by his balls. So I was telling those guys that in the green room, the exec of TNT goes, hey, go on. I want you to get up and show that. So that's what they want. They want you to show stuff. They want unconventional stuff, which is great. They want a different perspective. And they want entertainment. They just don't want a pure hockey show, and they don't want me sitting up there diagramming X's and O's, you know, what the St. Louis Blues and Craig Berube does, you know, dumping the puck in, dump the puck in.
It was funny. My kid watched that the other day, and he got cross-checked, and he did the exact same thing. Oh, and he's suspended for 8 years now.
Yeah, I know.
I said that after.
I don't have kids.
I said that, kids, please don't do that. I said that after. This is when we were not, you know, knuckleheads back in the 80s.
Yeah. Hey. It's all good, man.
I remember Brett Hull saying when Ken Hitchcock got hired by the Blues, I called Holly. I said, hey, what's the what'd you think about playing for Hitch? And he said, well, he plays the triple chip offense. You chip it over the blue line, over the red line, and over the other blue line.
Oh, the chip meister. Oh, yeah, for sure.
So that's good that they want you guys to be loose. Man. You know, as long as it's like within the natural personality of the individual, like where an individual isn't trying not to be themselves, because you know what? The audience will catch on to that very quickly. You know that, Tuck.
100%. Exactly. I'm not going to force things, you know, like, you know, Gretzky will be on the 13th with this opening night, and you know, that'll be fun. But yeah, if you know the way it is, if you force things, people will know. But I'll be honest with you guys. I'm not going to force it. I have a, you know, I'm going to tell you the truth. It'll never be personal. You know, you guys, I'm sure you guys, when you do it's never personal, but you have opinions on people, and people want to hear it, and they want to hear your opinions on players, teams, coaches. But it'll never be personal because, you know, it's a tough sport, man. You guys played it. It's hard. It's tough to play. It's tough to coach. There's only how many 800 NHL hockey players in the world, you know, playing in the NHL. There's only, what, 32 coaches. So it's tough to stay there. I'll tell you that.
Okay, so I keep hearing people say this, like, how's Gretzky, how's he going to be, whatever, is he going to be comfortable, is he going to call guys out and whatever. It's like, I hear it in people's voices when they ask that question. It's almost like they're doubting whether he's going to be good enough to do this particular job. Like, is he going to be comfortable in this situation? I keep thinking, like, well, why does he have to call anybody out? Like, he's Wayne Gretzky, he can do whatever he wants, really. So what have your conversations been like for him? Like, you think he'll be nervous, like, his first time out there, or no?
No, I don't think so. He's pumped. Like, I remember talking about, you know, we talked quite a bit, but about a month ago, hey, Wayne, I told him, I said, Wayne, I really want to be good at this. Like, I want to, you know, and he was pumped. Yeah, he actually said, let's go a couple days early. You want to get we're getting to October 12th. We have rehearsals, but he want to get there 11th. So he's pretty pumped. No, listen, Wayne's not going to go in. He's not going to rip guys, and he's not, you know, but he's going to have some good opinions. Like, Wayne's people, you know, that know him, he's a very engaging guy. He's the best. 5 o'clock happy hour at a hotel bar. He's the best. I will tell you, the great stories, very insightful. I think he's really going to add a lot for sure. And, you know, like same thing, like you just said, he's not going to force it though. He's not going to try to be Charles Barkley or anybody like that. He's just going to be Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah.
That would be hard to be Barkley.
you can't be.
I know. Yeah.
I know. Hey, did Gretzky like recruit you? Like, did he call you and say, talk, I think I'm going to do this, but I want you to come with me. Like, did it work out like that or no?
No, it didn't. And purposely, I told him I didn't go to test. I didn't want him to influence. He's obviously a close friend. I didn't want him to influence anything. I just went and tested. I was actually in the mix for the Seattle and Ranger job, and then I was talking to Columbus. And I remember my Asian girlfriend said, TNT called. They want to do a test. And I honestly didn't go. I said, you know what? I don't know. But they kind of – so I got on a plane. I went out there. And then Wayne called me the next day. I heard you went out. They called me and said, I guess you did really well. And they went off your contract. So that's kind of how it went. It's really a half-an-hour test. And then I flew back. And then, the phone rang.
What kind of test? Who's the head coach of the New York Islanders?
Who's the Asian girlfriend? You say Asian
the
girlfriend?
Asian. No, my girlfriend. Agent
slash girlfriend. I thought you said. Yeah. Okay.
Agent. Yeah.
Yeah. Agent.
Cam
slash
thought
girlfriend.
You said Asian. He didn't know.
No. Asian agent. Oh yeah, so no. Andy. Okay. So you got your girlfriend's your agent.
Your girlfriend is your agent, right? That's what you're saying, right? She kind of like.
No,
that.
My girlfriend and agent. So two separate people.
Okay. Oh.
Two separate.
Yeah. our bunny ears.
Man, you guys got hit in the head like I did.
I did.
Hey, talk. It's early. Well,
we all did.
Early in the morning today.
Hey, are you a sports nerd, man? Do you watch everything? Are you every day as a coach and stuff like? Are you watching every game? Are you dissecting everything, or can you like relax a little bit, kick your feet up, and like go drive your boat around or something if you have one?
I'm not. Well, you know what? I wouldn't say a nerd, but I do watch a lot of hockey, but like in spurts. You know, in season, like, you know, when coaching in Arizona, when you're there at 4:30, you know, we watch the early game. Yeah, it's not like I'm sitting there watching all the time, but you glance out, you're watching. But I talk, you know what I do? I do watch, like, joking aside, I do talk to Chief a lot, Travis Green a lot, John Cooper once in a while. Those are three guys that really pick their brains on coaching, right? And you know, we talk. Yeah, obviously, we're not divulging what we're doing other than the fact that, you know, we ask questions of each other. So you're always trying to evolve as a coach. I don't believe like watching video 24/7 is going to make you a good coach. I think really nowadays to be a good coach, you got to have a relationship with your players. You really do. You got to, you know, and you got to be careful because there'd be some guys you don't talk to sometimes. You go, man, I got to talk to this. And whether it's hockey or whatever, some coaches forget about guys, you know. Yeah. You can't just talk to the first line guys. You know, if you're going to win a Stanley Cup, and you know, you guys know in St. Louis there, the fourth line has to be. It was huge for them winning. So that I'm big with that. You got to talk to everybody, not just the main guys.
I agree with that, man. Even in a locker room talks, like sometimes I'd walk by past Pete DeBoer and I'm like, hi. And he just wouldn't even look at me. And I'm like, oh. And then I sit in the corner by myself, just like going through my life. Like, does he hate me? So like, it does affect you. So even like just a pat on the back talks. That's all you got to do. Just a little pat on the back. That's it.
Yeah, but you know what, and I just feel like it goes a long way. It goes a long way, and as a player, I wore every hat. I was a first liner, second, third, and a fourth liner. A guy didn't dress, so I understand each. That's the one thing I understand each guy's mentality. You know, and it's a very important. Even the guys that are like, I like going on with the Black Ace. You know, the guys that don't dress. Like I like staying on with those guys. I'm not that coach that. You know, that you know, just goes off and talks to the press all the time. I enjoy that's the favorite time for me is being on the ice with the guys and talking to people. That's why when I was in Pittsburgh as assistant coach, mm-hmm. I had a blast working with, like, Sidney Crosby's best. Like, he's out there 25 minutes, and we talk about stuff, and I pick his brain, and we talk about certain things on power play and stuff like that. So that's where you get your best work, on the ice than in an office with a you know, the video going.
Yep. You know, in a way, I know the paycheck isn't as good, but, like, is it almost more fun being an assistant coach versus the head coach?
Well, for me, my personality, like, I want to be head coach. I like the decisions. I like the, you know, the pressure of it. But I will tell you that those 4 years in Pittsburgh made me a better coach, all around coach. It was a blast. Great organization, great players. You know, Mike Sullivan was great to work for. So that really, it was a, if you ever wanted to to be a student and get better. That was good for me to be a, you know, to hone your coaching skills.
Yeah. Talk to all the guys after practice, like, oh, why don't we try this drill? And then you're doing drills with them and stuff. You know, Adam Oates was awesome with us in 2012 throughout that run. We're with the Eric Bolton and I kind of took care of the Black Aces and stuff like that. We're a part of that. But Oatsy, we'd do 3-on-3. Then we'd bag, but then it'd be fun again and competitive. So it wasn't just like drawn out 3 months of just getting bagged every single day. He switched it up and he was great with us.
You know, Cam, and I'm a believer that, like, when I used to do that, you know, with the guys, and what I like to do is, let's talk about practice. Hey, what do you guys want to do? Like, we you got to get your work in, you know, whether the bag, whatever, but you got to work on stuff, and you can, you know, we always call it the hidden bag skates, whatever. But I don't believe I'll get on the red line. Me and Chief were talking about this the other day, like in training camp. I go, how's it going? You know, he goes, he has those hidden bag skates, but he doesn't really just sit guys. You know, I think some coaches around the league, you know, they get you on the goal line and you got to go, you know, they got the mountain, the suicides and all that. I don't know if you really need that. Me personally, I think you can do it other ways. I'd rather do it where, you know, you got a puck in your hand and you got, you know, you can do a skill as you're doing it, because that's the game, right? But you know, I think it's, you know, a partnership with the player, you know? So when you're doing that, hey, what do you think about this drill? What do you think of that drill? And listen, all these guys are great guys. They're not trying to, hey, let's just sit at pucks. They want to work. Right. So I think it's a partnership personally.
Yeah. No, you watch some of these drills during practices, whatever. And it's almost like the players are being bagged and they don't even know it.
They don't even know
you know what I mean? Like when there's a puck involved and they're working hard and whatever, like that is their bag skate, right? Yep.
100%. And you know what? When you have a puck and you put people in drills, you a little bit of pushing and shoving, getting the skates pointed in different directions, that's really what you need. You know, I get, just putting a guy in the blue line going straight down and straight back, and then the next guy goes and you just back. Like, really, there's no skill that other than that. Are you trying to punish the guy? Are you trying to punish? And really, punishment to me, it's useless, because at the end of the day, I think most guys really just, you know, they want to learn and they want to be in shape. And you're going to get the odd guy that's trying to, you know, they try to buck the system, and you got to deal with them in different ways.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you got to hide. If it's competitive, then the guys will forget that you're getting back because they want to beat the next guy, and because that's just competitive nature. How are your practices, by the way? I read stories about different head coaches where 30 minutes into practice, they still haven't touched the puck. And for a guy like me, I'm like, ooh, boy, like I need to touch that black thing, man, before I do anything, be able to shoot the puck or anything. If you're cruising around for 30 minutes without the puck, I don't know. Were your practices like that? Were they flow? You got to touch the damn thing. What's going on?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I'm a big believer in pressure practice, in the sense that, you know, a small game within the game, you know, you know, whether it's a quick 3-on-2 out of the corner with a quick regroup, everything's fast. You know, listen. What's you guys hear it when a coach gets hired, you know, what type of team are you getting? We're going to play fast and we're going to be aggressive. Everybody says the same thing. But my question is to the coaches is, okay, how are you going to do that? So is there a way? I've been reading, you know, I like the Patriots, the way Belichick, the way the Houston run practice, the way Brady talks about practice. What they would do, they'd have a practice, and all of a sudden he'd blow the whistle, and you go, everybody on the goal line, on the 20-yard line, you got a minute and 10 seconds left, go, play it live. Ooh. Why can't we do that in hockey? Just stop practice in the middle of practice. Ooh. Okay. You know, let's go 5-on-4. You got 20 seconds. Go. You do a penalty killer. You do a 4-on-4. Something with pressure, and you got to surprise your team. I think there's different ways to practice nowadays, and I'm always trying to evolve in that. You know, I talk to other coaches. You know, is there a better way of practicing than just the same old practices, right? I think, and you got to keep guys fresh. You know, in their mind, they want to enjoy practice. It shouldn't be a punishment.
No,
you want to get.
Yeah, you practice that 6-on-5. It's a Chief may go in the Hockey Hall of Fame just for the 6-on-5. Like, okay, I mean, he pulls the goalie; they score all the time.
He told me that. I didn't know how. I looked up. They were so successful the last couple of years. Yeah, they got it dialed in. What they're doing.
I know. A lot of those goals were against you guys too. Now, you know, I mean, Arizona. Yeah.
No, that's not true. We beat. That's the only team we beat last year.
I know. Well, you guys played every day.
I didn't even watch the games. I think
30 of the 56 games last year were against Arizona. I'm pretty sure. I haven't checked, but I'm pretty sure that at least it felt that way. But they're good games though, man. You know, some of your players though, like, you know, Clayton Keller and some of these guys that I know, Christian Fisher, like they would say, like, it's not unusual for you to like text them Like when you're watching a game, hey, did you see this goal? You see what this guy did? This guy did. Like you have that relationship with your players too, don't you?
Yeah, a lot of texts. I think coaches is a 24/7 job. Like, you know, sometimes at 9:30 at night, and you know, they do the same thing. Like Kels used to all the time. He goes, hey, you know, talk. Where, you know, did you see that goal? No, Kels, I'm at dinner. What's going on? You know, you know, Dallas, did you see the Heiskanen, you know, the down low play? They hit the guy up top, but whatever he said. And I said, I'll make sure I take a look at that. Crosby was like that too. Like he texted, hey, did you see that San Jose goal off the faceoff? And, you know, in 2015, so they were really good at those faceoff plays. So he'd always watch those games. So, you know, they're asking you for it. So you better be ready for, to give them some answers. So yeah, yeah, definitely a lot of texts when it comes to that, for sure.
How are you with the refs? I mean, you got to have some sort of like, okay, 18 years, you guys all know who I am. You've dealt with me before, most of you. Like, how do you deal with them? And like, what pisses you off the most?
I got to tell you, I think I got great relationships with some guys. I really, some guys I have a tough time with, but listen, I remember when I didn't get the jobs this year, like about last month, four NHL refs just said, hey, good luck. Hope you get back in. Like, that's pretty cool. I mean, you know, Tim Peel in St. Louis, I really like him. Great guy. Kelly Sutherland, you know, I can go down the list. Whackham's a really good buddy of mine. Hey, listen, I got some guys you guys played that you just, you know, you have a tough time with. It just seems like they always picking on you or picking on your team. And for me, the guys that, you know, when you blast them and he gives it back to you and then there's a whistle, they come over and we talk it out. I love those. I hate the guys that they pout. They get mad. They don't want to talk to you again. That's what drives me nuts because I hate pouters, right? Yep. I hate hockey players that pout. I hate people that pout. I'd rather just put it on the line. Hey, listen, this is what I saw talk. This is, you know, whatever. I saw the trip. That's what I might have been wrong. But I said, okay, what am I going to say when he says that, right? Nothing. Yeah, right. Okay. At least he admitted it. I hate the guys that don't want to talk to you. It drives me nuts. And that's when I usually get in trouble.
All right. Does Kessel pout?
Kessel's not really a pouter. He's Kessel's Kessel. He's Phil Kessel. You know, everybody loves him. He's a guy that, you know, he's an interesting guy in the sense that he comes off, if he's mad, he'll just sit there. But he doesn't affect the team. He's the way he is. Sometimes I'd like to see him a little bit more let it go, be more positive with himself because sometimes it affects him. But he's an interesting guy. You know, he's scored a lot of big goals in his career. I'll tell you, when I was in Arizona, the young guys loved him. He was the godfather. You know, you know, the what's old school. He's that guy. You know, he's that guy that all the young guys hang out at the house. You know,
with
he's
the old man in his underwear that they picked up in the van. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah,
they did the wrestling thing.
Yeah, Kessel with the white underwear with his belly hanging over. That's still Kessel. But I will tell you, he can score goals, that guy, and he scored a lot of big goals.
He doesn't get hurt.
And he's like a great athlete, too. I mean, like, people like to talk about him dunking a basketball and stuff like that. Like, it's crazy. Hey, by the way.
Football, dunking basketball. Oh, yeah. He's a good golfer. Yeah, he's a hell of an athlete.
Yeah. By the way, you just made Timmy Peel's day, by the way.
I know. Peel's got a fucking boner.
Giving him the shout out here on the podcast.
Timmy,
he's got a rocket right now. He's going to listen. They all listen. I'm telling you, they all listen to it.
That's so funny. That's so funny.
I know. It's a popular show you guys got. I hear you.
It's funny, man. Listen, we love it, dude.
All right. So, all right, you're in Arizona. Like, I need to know about this John Shaika. Like, the GM, the young guy. Like, okay, so. I mean, he's like a very interesting guy. Like, everyone's like, okay, all of a sudden he, you know, wound up as an NHL general manager, didn't end very well, didn't leave the organization in a great place. You can tell me if I'm wrong about that with some of the moves. Like, what was he like for you, like the alpha male who played forever, fought everybody, and all of a sudden you've got him as your general manager? Did it work? Did it click right away?
Yeah, you know, a little bit of a bad rap from John. John got me the job there. I remember my first, I went 0-9, and I remember having a meeting with him, and he said, listen, I love the way you're practicing. I love it. You know, you should be 5-4. He said, like, he was very positive. He said, don't change a thing. So I got to give him a lot of kudos for that. You know what? We were coming. We had a competitive team. Obviously the ownership and him had, you know, their deal, you know, what happened. And then, you know, he didn't want, he was going to leave, at the end of the year. He wasn't going to leave, and they had a disagreement and it went away. Did it hurt us? Yeah, it did. Because, the noise, you know, around the Coyotes, there's a lot of noise. I got to tell you, with the ownership, there's two different ownerships. When I was there, two different general managers. There's a lot of changes. So it's hard to coach when you have a lot of noise. That's why I give the players and you guys are trainers. I love our trainers and our support staff. They were unbelievable to deal with all that stuff. So I thought we did a really nice job of blocking that out. Unfortunate. It kind of hurt us a little bit, but I don't blame Alex Morello or I don't blame John Chyka. They had their differences and it's between them and my job's to coach the team.
Isn't it stressful though? Sometimes there's never like a whole lot of positive things that are in the news about the Coyotes. It's always like negative ownership issues,
yes.
Ownership transition. The building's in a terrible spot. No fans there. They're going to move. I mean, how taxing is that mentally just to focus on coaching and playing, let alone dealing with all the extracurricular?
Well, I played the game, right? So if I got a coach always in my ear, like saying, yeah, you can't let things bother you. You got to do this. After a while, it's like, I understand the players, but you know, they were good. I said, guys, once we get in this locker room, you gotta block that noise out. And, is it difficult? Yeah, but it's part of the job. I'm sure other teams have their noises too. And you just got to stick with it. You know, look at Tampa, you know, they lost four straight to Columbus, what, 3-4 years ago.
Yep.
They were getting killed by everybody. Can they win the big one? And look what they've done. So, you know, I don't care what level of team you are. You got to block that noise out. And the locker room has to become as one, whether, you know, some other teams have other challenges than others, more than others. And obviously Arizona is trying now to stabilize things. They got a lot of draft picks. They're trying to go, you know, obviously they're trying to get a lot of draft picks and a lot of prospects for the next 3-4 years. And, you know, maybe hope they get that new building and the franchise can take off.
So when you go, and I've been through some teams where we've lost some games, man, and you lose, say, like seven in a row, and you're I don't remember these games, of course, and I'm sure you probably do, but some of them were like, we should have won that damn game, something happened, blah, 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 and just things are just going bad. That's hockey as a whole. What do you do as a coach? You lose six. Do you go for a team party? Do you go for a team activity? Do you do something different in practice? Do you have a weird speech? Like, what? How do you change things?
That's a great point. I think all of them. I think, first of all, you got to bring energy. I know it's hard. The next day, I'm a big energy guy. You got no chance if you don't have energy. I don't care if you have the best team. If you don't have energy, you got no chance. So the next day, whatever you do, you bring energy. Whether it's, if you are going to practice, you know, you just gotta, it really comes from the core guys, the younger, you know, the older guys got to really bring it and get the young guys to understand, hey, it's difficult. Maybe we'll be better for it. And then sometimes you show up and you go, hey boys, we did it the other day. I did this one time. I think we lost 4 in a row. Every thought we're going to practice had a bus. We went over to Topgolf, you know, got guys have a few beers. And it helps. It helps the camaraderie. It helps get people relax. And usually the next game, I would say 9 times out of 10, the team will play well. I'm not going to say you're going to win every time, but everybody usually plays well. So I think you got to throw that in. I don't think you throw it in all the time, but I think you got to surprise your team. Hey, listen, we got to relax here. And whether it's a top golf or, like you said, a team party or the captains do something, lunch or something, I think it's important for sure.
Okay, let me ask you this as a head coach, though. And this is – it's not talked about a whole lot, but like just like me observing, like my time covering the NHL, like I remember like Joel Quenneville being here – and he and his assistant coaches out together, right? After games, having beers, whatever. How important is that? Did you have assistant coaches at all times, like who you trusted, who you liked, who you wanted to hang around? Because I would imagine that's just as important as, you know, their X's and O's and their ability to kind of run, you know, different aspects of the game as well.
Great point. Yes. The camaraderie with the coaches, for sure. You know, some coaches don't, you know, they like to go their separate ways. I'm always a big believer at dinner together. You know, I'm not saying it be 24/7, but definitely dinners, beers, drinks together. I'll tell you a quick story with Chief and the boys, with that staff. Mm-hmm. We beat them, I think, this is the year they won the cup. It was in December. I can't remember. Don't quote me on it, but we beat them like 7-0. Okay,
oh,
that was.
Oh yeah, I remember. They were at their, remember that.
Like remember, they were at their lowest,
low
their,
point. Their, yep.
Low point, right? Last place. And I remember Chief texted me, and I, because we meet after the game, and we went to the, I think it was at the Yard House or one of those places across the street from the Gila River. So he brought Otter and Mike, and I know Mike Van Ryan from he coached Tucson, one of his head coach in Arizona, really good coach. And we went up there and, you know, they're down and, you know, I won 7-0. I think we were like in first place too, the Coyotes. And, you know, we were drinking beers and stuff. And Otter was talking. Chief was real quiet, right? Real quiet. We're drinking. We're there for a couple hours. You know, Chief, he could throw him down. Mm-hmm. And I remember Chief didn't get mad. I said, Chief, you know, whatever. And he, you know, a couple of guys were saying stuff. And I said something. And Chief finally piped up. He goes, you know what, guys? I just got to get this team to everybody to understand their roles. If everybody can just take a piece of the pie, not everybody's going to play 22 minutes. I have some guys here that might play 16 that use it. I got to get them to understand it. If we do that, we have a chance to get out of this thing. Well, lo and behold, they win the Stanley Cup. So I just remember that time. The Chief did. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't negative. He wasn't freaking out. He was very calm. Might have been the whiskey and cokes that helped him. But
and the wings.
Hey, that could have gone the other way, you know.
And the like 500 wings.
Oh yeah, Chief. Oh yeah. But no, it was something I remember, and I learned from that too. I go, man, like, you know, Chief won the Stanley Cup, and I remember telling Chief, man, I remember that time, Chief. You were real calm and stuff. You know, he goes, I didn't even remember that, but yeah, it was great to see that.
Hey, isn't it weird? So as a coach, and that all went down. I remember that game. Remember Andy? Schenner was fighting guys in Nashville. They were losing in Nashville. He's going, and then it was just so much chaos here because you had the team. You did all these things. Doug Armstrong was getting praised in the summertime, 2019. But then you see him go on a roll, though. And all you coaches are watching the St. Louis Blues. They win 11 in a row. Then they start doing this, and they get in the playoffs, and they start winning. Are you guys all looking at them like, okay, sit back, like, what are they doing differently? What's Chief got them doing? Alex Steen's playing on the fourth line, making 5.5. He's playing 13 minutes sometimes. He did exactly what you just said. He got everybody to play their damn role and to do it in perfection, and it worked. Were you guys all sitting back like, gosh, he really did it?
Well, yeah, he did it. And plus, you're trying to go, man, we got to take a page. I mean, obviously, they had a really good hockey team, but they also just the puzzle that Chief and that staff did and Doug Armstrong. It's like you said, you know, Alex Steen playing, you know, you're right, making $5-6 million, and he's playing 12-13 minutes. But if you watch last minute of a game or an important play, Alex Steen's out there. Like, so everybody has a role, you know, and if you're asking Tarasenko, hey, man, you're going to have to play the second unit for us for a little bit because we're on a roll. You know, because Perron or this guy's hot, you got to do that stuff sometimes, right? Yeah, everybody wants their piece. I get it, and you know, it's important that you give everybody their piece, but they can't always be on their terms, you know. And I think that's the key. It's got to be on the team's terms. And I think that year, for sure, for 4 months, that team was just they were just dialed in.
Yeah, until Tarasenko wants a trade.
Yeah, well, we've talked about that.
Then he says, I don't want to be here anymore. Okay, it was cool for a little while.
Agents can be
I need to be back in my spot on the power play.
Oh, shit.
Cam and Strick podcast here for our boy Dan Bellman with Bellman.com.
Yeah, baby.
You need some new wheels? Why not get a Cadillac, a Buick, a GMC? Yeah. Head out to Troy today. And again, don't forget about Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram right across the street.
No doubt.
Right there in Troy, Missouri. Visit them online. Check out their new selection, the pre-owned selection, the best service you will find anywhere in the country. Bellman.com. BehlmannN.com. Get yourself some new wheels in time for the summer.
Yeah.
Now back to the interview. Hey, how about when you were in Tampa Bay? Like, listen, I've never like heard much about your time at Tampa Bay. First off, like you're coaching, like Barry Melrose is the coach. Like he comes from television, like the studio, and then all of a sudden he's the head coach. Didn't stay very long. You've got the number one overall pick. Drama galore with that ownership group. God, you probably have stories galore just about that alone. But just coaching with Melrose, like did you know right off the bat, be like, okay, this may not work. What were your thoughts on that?
Well, I think, you know, I listen, coaching is tough. Like, I don't think you can just walk in and just start coaching. I think you have to have some concepts and stuff like that. And I think Barry, you know, he was a very, you know, he worked in LA, you know, in the 90s, a hardworking team, you know, but I think there were some things, there was some system wise and dealing with players that you have to do different. And I'm not sure, you know, I shouldn't say he wasn't ready for it. I think there's just different personalities and you got to deal with it. That's today's coaching. And I think the, you know, when he left and then the ownership, it was crazy. You know, it was Lenny Berry and Orrin Kulas. Yeah. That was a different time. I'll tell you what, man, hopefully my next gig, I'm going to pick an owner that's got a lot of money and leaves you alone. I don't know if there's any, there's not a lot of those guys out there, but no, we had Stamkos down there who just turned out to be a great player. Mario St. Louis was a warrior. you know, look what Victor, you know, how about Hedman, you know, how about him? He's been unbelievable. So they had the makings, and then obviously Stevie Eisman going there with, and there you go. If you want to talk about a first star is Jeffrey Vinnick, the owner. He went into a situation that was just, it was a shit show. He went in there, you know, and, you know, he's the guy that let me go, but I don't blame him. I told him when he, it's funny when he called me in, he was very nervous. You know, this guy's worth billions of dollars. Very nervous. And he just, I said, I actually said to him, I said, Jeffrey, I get it. If I were you, I'd take a flamethrower to this dude. You got to burn this to the crisp and start back up.
Wow.
And boy, did they, you know, with Stevie Eisman going there, he settled things down and look what they've done. You know, John Cooper, a hell of a coach. And that franchise is, you know, it's beautiful. It's a great, you know, they bought all that property around the arena, waterfront. So that's for a team that's a, you know, teams that aren't doing well and it's a shitty situation, just look at Tampa, and if you do it right, it can work.
Well, you need to go to a spot where you can spend like $30 million over the cap too, Talk. Okay, then yeah, that,
well, guys
that,
gotta get hurt. That well, help you can't too. Play your no, superstar.
But there's no doubt, man. They've got great players and great, I mean, the resources around them, ownership, everything. I like what you said there. All right, but Stamkos, though, his rookie season, like he wasn't playing very much. There seemed to be like a little bit of drama. Should he have come out and stayed, you know, and turn, you know, pro or go back to whatever.
Right.
First overall pick. What was the deal with him? Because then the next year, he like absolutely exploded.
Well, I'll tell you what, during the year when I took over, I remember in Gary Robertson, our team, you know, he was near the end of his career, but he took a role as just a mentor for Stammer. And I remember talking to Robs and our coach, and I said, listen, I don't think we should play, you know, the fanfare with, you know, your first round, first pick overall. I said, let's play Stammer like two of every three games. Let's get, you know, he's a skinny guy. He wasn't that strong. And the times he's not playing, let's get him in the gym. And Robs used to take him in the gym on his, you know, on his off days and games he didn't play. And if you watch his last two, but I haven't really looked at his stats, but his last 2 months he was scoring, he was starting to take off. So I think that was a real key. And you could ask Stammer about that. I think it really helped him. Instead of trying to play him every game, I think we played him like two of every three, got him in the gym. And then the next year he went ballistic. He scored 50 goals, right? You know, I had Steve Downey, who actually scored 20-something
goals. Downs.
And Marty, you know, Downs, right? Yeah, and then Marty, yeah, it was a hell of a line for me. They played really well. We, you know, our team wasn't that great, but that line was really good.
Downs, man. Oh, he'll hit you, too. I played with Windsor with him. I think his daddy just passed away, and I kind of took him under my wing a little bit. But good kid. We're trying to actually get him on.
Yeah.
But here's what I'm going to ask you, too. So first off, Gary Roberts, by the way, having a guy like that around, this is an older veteran that's just a gosh dang warrior, man, that just knows how to work out. And obviously he has guys working out with him all the damn time. But as a coach, isn't it nice to have this that wily veteran that's just a shit kicking hard worker that just people could just like, you know, just feed off of?
Rob's a great guy. Well, you got to remember, people understand, when he was playing in Calgary, he actually scored 50 goals.
He did.
He smoked and he drank. He was a big, you know, he used to smoke. And then all of a sudden, he got that injury and he just turned 360. You know, he's a health freak. You know, he'll go out every once in a while. You get him out. He's a very engaged guy. I love Rob's. But, yeah, he's a guy, though. Those are the guys in the locker room, man. They're hard to find. They're just... You know, you can lean on these guys, and they work their asses off. You know, they're the first guys in practice and the first guy in the line. And, you know, he's older there and he's trying to make these young guys take his job. You know, he's not going to give it to them. Same thing happened in Philly. You know, the same thing with Justin Williams and Simone Gagné. When I was near the end of my career, the same thing. I love those kids, but I told them, hey, you got to take my job. You know, I'm not going to give it to you. And they did because they're great players. Rob's the same way. You know, he's not going to. He was just a good guy. You know, you could always rely on him as a coach or as a player.
Yeah, and it's no surprise he's doing what he's doing. And right now, and having so much success, and having the impact on the number of players that he's impacting. I mean, even a guy like James Neal, he's here on a tryout. We'll see how it goes. He's had a really good camp so far, actually. So, I mean, all signs look to be positive in terms of him staying here. We'll see how it plays out, like I said. But he was saying the other day that Gary Roberts is like a second dad to him. You know, he's been working out with him since he was 14. But I've heard that from a number of guys. Stamkos being one of them. Robert Thomas, the Tkachuk boys, McDavid, all these guys that have been under the wing of Gary Roberts. Like, did you see that future for him? Like, was he ahead of his time just in terms of knowing the body and the science of the body?
Yeah, he just started picking away at that, guys. Like, he just started to – I tell you, this last year there when I was in Tampa as the coach, he started to dabble in that stuff. You know, he's reading a lot about the science of it and your body and stuff like that. So, yeah, he was definitely – try to be ahead of his time. And look at the list of guys that he's been training. I mean, these guys are, you know, they're stars. They're the stars of the league. So he's doing something right. There's a lot of rewards from them working out with Robs.
He's doing everything you're not doing, Andy. Just put it that way. And it's like he's working everybody out, like weight training, and Adam Oates is doing all the, you know, the psyche shit with skills, the skill shit, all that stuff, man. Oates is an awesome cat.
What are you doing? Come on, Toc. We need you to have a side job.
No,
he
said
TV.
You stick the guy with your skate when you get cross checked.
Oh, that's right.
Well, there's certain things that Cam, you probably know these. Like you go into a scrum, you have your stick up turned, and you know you let the stick flap. We used to do that. Like I learned that from all the guys back in the day, like Wayne Cashman, Bobby Clark. These guys are legends. They used to do all that stuff. You know, you can't do that nowadays, and I would never promote that stuff. But I'll tell you what, there's a couple of little things here and there. You're gonna have guys watching over you if you do these things, but. I'm not going to promote this stuff. Trust me.
No,
I'll get thrown out of the league.
You've got kids everywhere. Hey, kids everywhere are doing it.
I know.
They call it the talk it.
The talk it.
They spend 30 minutes trying to do the Michigan, and then they spend 30 minutes trying to do the talk
it. Hey, let me ask you this, though, man. You played in some bad boy eras, dude. Who was the big boy? And we've had all kinds of cats on here. But who did, because you were scoring, you were fighting, you were hitting. So you had to sometimes get those big guys, man. Like, who were you scared of? Was it Big Dave Brown because he was a lefty? Was it Proby? Was it, who was it?
See, I was very lucky, guys. When I turned pro, made the NHL 19, I went into a team that we had legitimately 7-8. Like, and Craig Ruby came the next year. You know, we had Dave Brown, who was the king, you could say Proby, but at that point, definitely Dave Brown, a guy named Glenn Cochran, Errol Stanley, an old Western League, he could fight. We'd have got our team, the minors in Hershey, was tougher than most of the NHL teams. So I was lucky as a guy to come in, and I was a pretty tough kid, but when you have 7 or 8 backups, I mean, it makes your job easier. I'm sure, again, you go in and, we used to laugh like some guys, like, when you're the only guy, you got the pork chop around your neck, and you're going against a tough team. And so there's the guy, the poor guy's by himself. I was lucky my first 7-8 years. I didn't have that, and it's fun to play when you have a lot of guys on your team that can play the game, but we're tough. But Dave Brown was, I remember him breaking, and Kenny Baumgartner was a tough kid, man, really tough. He broke his orbit bone, and I remember in the island, he just went, and I think Bomber cross-checked a couple of our players. Brownie went out and just grabbed them, one punch, boom, orbit bone. And that's when you just know, wow, thank God he's on our team.
Fine. Let me ask you this then. Okay, because you had some big boys, but what about besides Scotty Stevens, because you had the puck a lot, man. And you did have to battle in front of that and go in the corners, and you're the guy getting the puck in the hard areas to give it to whoever. What defenseman were you like, oh, this son of a bitch is going to get me? He might get me with a knee. He might get me with an elbow. I don't know, but I got the puck too much.
Well, that Jersey defense, Scotty, Kenny Danico, Colin White was there. He's a tough kid.
Damn right.
Whitey.
Goofy, I should say.
So, was he Goofy? Is he a Goofy
No,
guy?
A Newfie. A Nova Scotia.
Oh, Newfie.
Newfoundland.
Newfoundland. Badass. Newfoundland. Oh, the best of the best.
Yeah. Cam doesn't know.
Whitey was my best buddy.
He's still learning the areas of Canada.
I'm just
over
saying.
Lyle Oline was there. Yeah. Surrey. I mean, there's that defense core there for years. I mean, that's a tough defense. You don't want to go in front of the net. I mean, it didn't matter which guy, you're getting some lumber around the net. And with that group too, and I always felt as a player, you can't, as much as it hurts and it pains to say that you got to play the inside of those guys, because if they know that, you're going to start going on the outside, they got you. So it was almost a mental war. I remember talking to Kenny Danico about that. I remember I said, I don't care if Kenny crossed me, I'm coming right back there. So, I'm not saying Kenny would back off, but he'd go, oh my God, here he comes back again. So, let me go pick on somebody else. So I think that's important. But yeah, that group there for sure was definitely a group that was so tough for years in Jersey.
All right. So how are you with the way the game is played today? And like, when did you see that transition? And even a guy like Sidney Crosby, like, you remember Sid when he first came into the league, like, always whining, he's barking at, opposing players, the referee. He didn't like to be touched, like, how would some of these guys have handled, Crosby obviously would be great in any era, but how would they have handled just the overall mental side of the game and the physicality and just dealing with what you had to deal with for 60 minutes every night?
Yeah, I listen, the game's gotten better. It's quicker. It's faster. The skill, you play Edmonton, you watch Draisaitl and McDavid play the game. I still think, and, you know, you talk to the refs that are in today's game that are still a little bit older guys, they'll still tell you, you know, you got to still be able to fight through the puck. I mean, you know, to me, it's all body position now. I know they're cracking down on stuff because they want, obviously, the star players to really shine. But I think it's very important in today's game. You got to get quick to body position. That's the way you got to defend. You know, obviously, you can't grab, you can't cross, you can't hold. But can you get to that point quicker than the other guy? That's the only way you're going to defend because that's just, you know, that's the game today. So it's for the better. I just don't want to see all of a sudden. I know the refs got criticized in the playoffs last year. I just don't want to see so many power plays and where you can't fight for your ice. I mean, there's got to be still that skill to be able to do that. So hopefully they allow that. And, you know, and listen, I still think, you know, I know they talk, there's not much fight anymore. I still think that, you know, it's part of the game. It's a situation where there are a lot of guys out there. I mean, listen, I'll tell you, nothing drives me nuts as a coach when you watch players out there. No, there's not much fighting. There nobody fights that they go out there and they play a little bit, you know, like a little bit like rats. And I think that's where it's important. I like to see the refs give those guys the penalty right away because, you know, either drop your gloves or play the game the right way. Mm. You know, that's what I
like that.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people listening would agree with that. Dang. All right. What about Mike Keenan? Did he would he threaten you with – like an American League jersey, like have a jersey made up and be like, hey, if you don't play well tonight, then you'll be wearing this next game. And did you like playing for him? Because, listen, before you answer, I can't tell you how many guys we've had on who played for Keenan. Obviously, he coached everywhere. And some guys absolutely despise this guy. And then some will surprise you and be like, you know what, I really like playing for him. So where do you stand on it?
Yeah, there's no middle ground. Either you hate Mike or you like Mike. I love Mike. I love Mike. Like, listen, did he do some tactical stuff there that probably can't do today? Absolutely. He can't do the stuff he did back then. But he did do that to me. He called me in. He said, there's a 22 jersey in Hershey. You better play good tonight. Get the fuck out of my office. So, and that night I fought, I fought Neil Shee, I fought Poplinski, and I think it might've been Tim Hunter.
Timmy Hunter.
Three times. And I don't know why it's Calgary. My other story is we go into Calgary and after the first period, you know, you're coming off, you know, I think we're losing 2-0. And, you know, as you're coming off that walk, the saddle don't see a thing. And he was kind of behind me and I'm like, I don't know what I said. I didn't say it about him. I was just saying I was pissed off about something. And he yells off, shut up, you prima donna. I snapped. I turn around. I go after him. Brad McCrum and Mark Howard between me. Talk. And so they had to separate us, right? So we were going to go. I was going after him. You know, I'm not saying he was going after me. I was going after him. Anyways, we ended up winning the game 4-3. Okay. We have come back. There's a couple of fights in. I'm not saying I scored or nothing, but we won. And I remember, I'm, you know, I had the big long hair and I'm blow drying my hair, right? You know, hey, where are we going? And there used to be a bar called The Bank. I don't know if you guys ever heard it. It was in Calgary, really popular bar back then. So all the guys were going, they were going to go there. And I remember Mike come up to me and he throws me his credit card. Hey, buy the boys some drinks. I threw the card back at him and said, I'll use my own cash to buy the boys. I was pissed off him, right? And then, but, you know, you patch it up. That was Mike. You know, he played those kind of games, psychology games with you, you know. But he got the most out of me, I'll tell you that.
Okay.
Blow drying that hair.
But then, God. But then after being a head coach, did you ever do that? Like, maybe not go to that extreme, but, I mean, is it impossible not to play mind games with players? Like, when you're trying to get the most out of players, you're trying to motivate them. Like, every player needs probably different type of motivation. You can't coach every player the same. So did you ever find yourself in the midst of doing, maybe, like I said, not to the same extreme, but still playing some mind games? Because you know coaches still do that today.
Yeah, whether it's mind game, there's a different mind game. I think if you do an honest mind game, like a I would never call it. I mean, I wouldn't be in some player's face, call him a prima donna. Whatever. I would never do that. But there's ways of talking to a player. Even like I have players. Like, listen, I've had players in the room. And there's some. You know, the players are intimidated by you because you know I used to play the game. Sometimes they you know, whether it's my personality or I intimidate them. But I always try to be honest with the guy in the room. I'm in the office. But the next day we have that talk, and that guy's doing the same thing we talked about. He's gonna sit. And then my problem is that when a guy pouts, that's when I usually would give it to a guy. Like, I'd rather a guy come turn around, hey, talk, and almost yell at me, like, hey, what are you talking about? That wasn't my man and blah, blah, blah. We can hammer it out. I get it. And I've been wrong before as a coach. Hey, a lot of times as a coach. Yeah, you're right. That wasn't your man. I apologize. Hey, I apologize. Or I might call you after the next day you come in. Clayton Keller's come in and he's talking, he was a little nervous to me sometimes, but he go, what I do wrong. And he actually tells it, I was wrong, man. You only played like 14 minutes. I probably should have played you more. It's okay to do that. But it's also, you got to be honest with the guys too. So I don't think you do the Mike Keenan stuff nowadays, but saying that, not to jump around, Mike was ahead of his time in a lot of different things. He was the guy that really started those 45-minute high tempo practices, because usually those coaches back then were hour and a half, 2-hour practices standing around
on the chalkboard, like, oh, here, this
yeah,
is
the
what
chalkboard,
we do.
Right. Yeah.
Like, let's get fucking going. Let's go, God.
Yeah, players don't like standing around. They don't like standing around.
Hey, let me ask you this, though. And this is like a new thing that you had to deal with, that you didn't have to deal with when you played. But social media. And and players now being – and we see what Robin – we had Robin Leonard on a couple weeks ago. And it blew up, and it is what it is, and he's outspoken. Like, what's your take on all that? What's your take on social media? I mean, it's got to be frustrating at times. I don't know if you've been through it in jams with some of the players lately but it's a tough thing. But what do you do with it?
Yeah, I think it's, I have a 21-year-old son, who's on social media. We've had these discussions. Listen, social media helps promote the game in the sense and makes money. I get it. But it's also dangerous too. It's a form that you got to be careful of, especially inside the locker room. My biggest pet peeve, and I think you got to get to your leadership group with this, because it seems like guys are always on their phone. Like, even after a big win, you're on the bus, and, we should be hooting and hollering, having a couple of beers, and guys are like on their phones. Like, that's the only thing I usually talk to the leadership group. Can we somewhat like curb a little bit of it? I understand that. Can you put the phone away for a little bit? Because every wants to get on that Twitter and every wants to find out what's going on. I found out, to be honest, we made two trades. I found out on Twitter last year on a couple of trades. To be honest,
there you go.
So I think it's obviously a good thing. For the game and I guess the players, I get it, but it's also dangerous. And I think you just got to somehow come to some balance with it, because after a game, man, you want to celebrate with your team on the bus and stuff. And sometimes it's a quiet bus because everybody's on their phone.
Looking at what people are saying about them. Yep. To pump their own tires.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
exactly. That's true.
Well, listen, you were just in Arizona, and you've got Biz Nasty there, right? And he's doing his, social media thing, even when he was playing. Like, I'll never forget taking like a U18 AAA team from St. Louis, and Kurt Frazier's son was on the team, and Kurt Frazier was an assistant coach with Dallas, and you guys were playing Dallas. I don't know if you were there at the time or not, but he brought us down to the rink. Shane Doan comes out to meet the kids, and the kids, like, all of a sudden, like, Biz walks by.
Oh, God.
They wanted nothing to do with Shane Doan. They all knew who Biz Nasty was. Like, is the craziest thing. So as a head coach,
great guy.
He's right there doing his thing, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, Biz has done a hell of a job, man. He's Barstool. He's going to be on us with TNT now. So, they know. Listen, you're right. They want to talk to Biz. He's got 3 million followers, and Shane Doan's got 20,000. You know what I mean? That's just the way it is. And I think, like I said, it can be dangerous. It's fun, but also you got to be able to shut it down too. I think championship teams know how to do it. I really do.
Did you get along with Biz? You guys got along pretty well. Like, I mean, was he around all the time, or is he just?
Dave Tipp was the coach then, so I didn't know. I didn't know Biz at all. I wasn't there. But when I started coaching, Biz come around in his gig. Absolutely great guy, hell of a guy, great interviewer, fun guy. I'm a really fun. I'm anxious to work with him. Actually, we're going to do dinner the 12th, the night before me, Gratz, him, a couple other guys, I think Liam Q. We're all going to have dinner the night before, and, Biz is always a fun guy to have dinner with.
He's not going
to
pick the tab up, I'll tell you that right now.
Well, we know that. Well, you know what? The money he's probably making now, he should friggin' pay for a thing, But we'll probably use Gretz's black card.
Yeah, that's about right.
Hey, what about playing or coaching under Gretz? Like, coaching with him? Like, let people know, because I feel like he's almost taken a little bit of a bad rap as a head coach.
Georgie
like,
ripped him.
How invested was he into coaching? Like, he took it serious, didn't he?
He did. He got a bad rap. Listen, he inherited a shitty situation. The team wasn't that great. Actually, the first year we were 500, I thought he did a hell of a job. I thought he was a really good bench coach. You know, he let myself and Barry Smith and that, you know, run the practices and all that stuff. But for bench coach and stuff, he was excellent. You know, there's a lot of work. I think he knows, he realized, hey, man, coaching's a lot of work, you know. And but I thought he did, you know, especially around the bench. And I thought that first year, I mean, to be 500 with that team, I thought he did a terrific job. He's a lot of fun. I'll tell you what, the road trips, you know, everything's first class. You know, the happy hours, the 5 o'clock in the hotels before dinner. I mean, those were fun times. And he's so generous with his with just everything, you know, his time, the stuff he does, you know, the charities does. I don't think people realize how much he does. It's incredible what he does with his time and charity.
Okay, he came on our podcast.
I know, and he came. I know, man. He is the best, and you know he's around here in St. Louis all the time, right? So he's here, you know, invisible and doesn't hide, and he treats everybody the same. It's like he
calls almost, you by your first name.
He's almost too good to be true, to be honest with you, in terms of how good of a guy he is. But
but you know what, though, guys, he's like when they're star players, mm-hmm. and they want to be treated just as us. Like yes. they don't want to be, they want to get japped in the room. Yeah. You know, they jap you back. Like they're a great guy. Like I'll tell you what, real quick, Wayne was the coach with me when I was there as assistant coach. And we were tight, you know, the players are tight around Wayne. And Wayne goes, man, they're tight. And I said, Wayne, you know, do something different. So before the game, we were in Detroit and I think the national anthem goes really pretty. So Wayne kind of made a crack to like, hey, whoever scores a winning goal, I won't say what he said. He goes, yeah, I'll get your number. So anyways, long short of it, we win. We beat Detroit. We had no business beating them. So then we go into Dallas. Same thing. Dallas always has, you know, those good-looking girls to sing the national anthem, right? So I go, I hit Gretz in the ribs. I go, Gretz, you know, it's karma. Say it again. So he said, hey, guys, during that, you know, just before national anthem, hey, whoever gets the winning goal or if we win the game, gets the winning goal, I'll get her number. We beat Dallas. We go somewhere else. I swear, we got a three-game road trip, right, and we win. And we're like, oh my God. So now we come home, got 3 days off. We're in Arizona. All of a sudden, you know, Wayne, we're behind the bench. All of a sudden, who comes out to sing? Paulina Gretzky, right? Oh. So I give Gretz the old, Gretz, come on. He goes, no fucking way. He's like this, right? But anyways, the long and short of it, it's that's the sort of stuff that he do. He's an engaging guy, and you know, I try to shake up the trees a little bit sometimes when people are tight around him, you know.
Wow. That is awesome. That is awesome.
Boys couldn't wield that anyway.
Hey, what's your advice? A few more minutes, man. You've been great, man, and we'll let you go. Dude. But this is what you get when you play for 18 years and you play with every superstar. We got a lot of questions for you, Todd.
We can go for 5 hours.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, that's okay.
We'll all right. So listen, you were the hot commodity, right? The hot assistant. It's almost like the hot, like, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator in football. Like, you know, these guys are going to get head coaching jobs. You're coming off of back-to-back Stanley Cups in Pittsburgh. Do you feel like you rushed with, I don't want to sit here and say, do you regret going to Arizona? But you know you would have gotten, you know, other job opportunities probably would have come your way as well. Do you feel like you left too soon? Do you regret when you left Pittsburgh?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I don't know the answer because I remember Jim Rutherford. I loved working for Jimmy. And I remember Jimmy said, you know, he just told me, take your time if you're going to do this because, you know, you're going to get another opportunity if you want. If you know. So he said, make sure that if you're going to take it, make sure that, you know, and they gave me a 4-year deal. So I wanted a commitment, which, you know, John gave me. You know, listen, you get better. You know, I'm going to use this experience, these 4 years there to be a better coach. I don't think I could say if I wait and stuff. I think that's a tough question. But it is definitely something I pondered. But it is what it is. And you move on. Like, you know, hopefully there's another job that opens. If not, you know, maybe I'll do this broadcast, do this analyst stuff. You know, who knows?
Yeah.
I hope you do because I love watching.
You're pretty good at it.
You're goddamn good. And you look good too, by the way. You're jacked as shit. I saw you.
Are you still working out or what?
Are you eating wheatgrass or something?
No. My problem is I eat too much, so I got to work out quite a bit. I've actually dropped 10 pounds, man. I try to get that TV weight off.
You look good.
I got another 10 more pounds. I try to hit the gyms and stuff like that, the hotels and. You know, I just eat too much, guys. That's my problem. And I love Italian food. You know, we all like to eat, man. That's the problem.
Yeah, eat and drink. That's what we do.
Hey, let me
ask you one more question.
Yeah, okay. No problem.
One more question, we got to go. Toughest era in hockey. Now, let me give you an example.
Yeah.
Who's tougher than Derek Bugard and Steve McIntyre in all your eras? Is there anybody that could toe-to-toe in there? I know it's a weird question, but I don't give a damn. This is a lot of our listeners. You know how it goes. Stevie McIntyre, Derek Bugard, who could beat them in any other era?
Well, you know what? It's a great question because like, you know, back in the day, you're talking 70s, the Schultz and these guys, and then the 80s with Dave Brown and Probert and Berube, you know, Tony Twister, you know, guys like, you go those guys, and then you go that area yourself. Like, it's a hard question, because on any given night, one of those guys could have won, right? Because they're so damn tough. Mm-hmm. But you know, those two guys that you just said, those guys are dangerous, right? I mean, if Bugard, I mean, you know, he gets that uppercut, or he gets loose, you know, you're in trouble, right? But I think I have so much respect for those guys and yourself, Cam, because it's a hard job. It's one of those things where I don't think, you know, we did that. Chaser did that. What's that? The Ice Garden thing. I did the interview with that.
Yeah.
And I watched that thing a few times, and I'm just, you know, I got emotional stuff because, you know, it's a tough job. A lot of those guys did a lot of stuff for their teammates, and it's hard to do. And it was selfless. And a lot of the only difference nowadays is the tough guy really, or the fourth line, the tough guy doesn't have a lot of say like they did. I just remember like the Dave Browns and Craig Berube's or whatever. They had a lot of say in the room. You know, like nowadays it seems like they don't have a lot of say. It's the top star guys.
Yeah.
You know, Marty McSorley. I mean, how tough was he? I mean, there's classic guys like that. So, I don't know. Those two guys, I wouldn't want to, you know, wouldn't want to be in a dark alley with those two guys. Those guys are pretty tough.
Were you scared of Chaser after watching him in his little figure skating outfit?
Well, I'll tell you what, I fought Chaser a couple of times. And thank God, because I remember his twist in him. I'm like, Chaser's tough. I love it. I want Chase.
The race for Chase. Don't deny it. Hey, it was the race for Chase when Twister was with I'll fucking say. Chaser's going to kill us, by the way, Andy. Chase. He's going to kill us.
Chase, no, but Chaser, he's a tough kid. But Chaser's a funny guy. I love talking to
Chase. He's our good buddy. Man, he's helped us out with so much shit. I want to pump him.
He helps. You know, Chaser helps out a lot of people. You know, he really does. Behind the scenes, yeah, he does. I know.
He asked you for 10%, but he'll help you out.
He'll ask you fucking 20% now. 20%.
Oh, he only charged you 10? I would pay 25%.
Hey, I can't have you on here without asking about Mario, though. Like the difference between Mario and Wayne as people, like, they're just as big as celebrities. Like, I had to remind myself today, I can't believe that, you know, how much hockey was taken away from Mario Lemieux. Like, he didn't even get to 1,000 games. His numbers are through the roof. I mean, he had 160 points 1 year in 60 games playing with you. Like, how many points would he have had if he would have played a full season that year? Like, this guy, and compare. I don't want to compare him and Wayne, but are they different off the? Explain that for people who don't know.
Yeah, Miro's very unassuming. He's not a posse guy. He doesn't have some of these star guys like to have a, you know, 10 or 15 guys around that laugh at their jokes. He's not that way. You know, he's a guy that he likes to, you know, he has his select friends, but he's very behind the scenes guy. Loves his golf. He's another guy, you know, with like a very generous behind the scenes stuff. I mean, what he does with the UPMC and pitch with the hospital, he's got his own wing there. Very engaging, great. Another guy, you know, he's close. I know Ty, you know, he has no Ty Domi. Oh, he's really close to Ty, and we always chirp Ty all the time. But Mario's great with chirps too. That's what I love with Wayne and Mario. They're good chirpers. Like they I don't think people realize they're good in the room. They got those zingers. You know, they're not as loud as us guys, you know, but they're very good at those little chirps to get on a guy. But yeah, very assuming guy, one of the best. I mean, you can put him and Wayne and flip a coin half the night. You know, they're gonna get their points, and they're so friggin' good. You know,
good.
And if they chirp you though, it's meaningful.
I know.
If those guys are beating you in the locker room, you're listening, dude.
Well, the odd time, like, and the guys always ask me, like, you know, you got more like a Messier type, more boisterous guys in the room. They didn't talk a lot, but when they did, like you said, it meant something. You know, hey, things weren't going good. And if their voice raised a little bit, you'd see a little bit of a, oh shit, we better get going here. So they were good at that too. At the timing of their speeches were really good.
Dude, man, you are one of the best. We've had everybody on. And Andy's like, hey, what about Rick Tocchet? I go, word? I go, get his ass on. Are you crazy? So, man, I'm glad you came on. You're fun to watch. You're fun to listen to. I looked up all your YouTube shit last night again, too. I sat there for 3 hours like a nerd. But, yeah, you entertained me last night, man. Appreciate it, man.
Hey, have fun. Have fun doing the television, too, man. And don't take it serious, because nobody watching really is taking it that serious. No. So just have fun with it.
Entertain.
Listen, I heard a lot about you guys. Great show. And next time I come on, if I get on, if I got on, I get out of the B squad. But get me and Chief together. I'll bury him.
Oh my
him
God!
On,
hey,
I'll bury
listen,
that
Lord.
Talk. I'll kill him.
Hey,
I'll kill him.
Oh my God! It's like I love all the Chief's friends. Like Dale Hunter came in town during the conference
final. He's
being
a wimp. He's not coming on.
You know,
he's being a wimp.
But you got to come into St. Louis for a game. I'm sure you'll come in at some point and hang out with Chief. When that happens,
oh God,
we got to do that. We'll sit down with both of you. That'd be awesome.
Well, I got some good stuff there for you.
Well, people love it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
We only want the uncensored stuff. You know that
they love to hear you, man. They love the old.
Yeah, they don't want Chief trying to break down a forecheck. They want to hear the real.
And hey, before we make it clear one more time to Cam, your agent is
not your girlfriend.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Sorry.
Yeah, it's not an Asian girlfriend. It's agent and girlfriend.
Hey, it'd be cool one way or the other, though. Okay? Just so you know. It'd be cool one way or the other. All right, big boy. I'll see
you,
buddy.
Have fun.
You're the man.
Take care.
Okay, boys. Take care.
Hey, what's up, everybody? That interview was brought to you by Daredevil Hockey and daredevilhockey.com. Use that promo code today, Cam and Strick. It's going to save you 25%. All caps, Cam and Strick, Daredevil Hockey. Get yourself protected today. All right, that was Tock.
Awesome.
He would bag you. And now he would bag you up. I'm just being honest with you.
He's
okay?
10 times better player than me, better at everything. He's better at but as far as a fight, like, I would have gone him.
He's better at everything.
Yeah, I know.
Than you. You think?
And you.
Scored 400 goals.
Andy, I know. I'm just saying, as far as like a fight, like, I'd go him.
You would.
He ain't 6'5". You know, so I.
He's pretty jacked, though.
Should I take my shirt off for you? God damn it. Like, the one thing I got is jackness. Can't you just give me that, please? Jeez Louise.
See, were you ever? You ask all these guys if they were ever scared. Like, who scared you?
Boogeyman. Stevie McIntyre. Everybody. Look, I was nervous before. I didn't want to get embarrassed. It wasn't like I was scared to get hurt. I just didn't want to get fucking knocked
That's the like
fuck
your go-to
out.
Question. You didn't ask him anything about, like, who's picking up the tab. He didn't do any of that. That's
dude,
normally your go-to.
No, but he was. No, but yeah, but I asked him about shit. He was awesome, dude. He was just, I want to know about his coaching, dude. Because he's going to get another job.
Oh, he will get another job.
I want
job.
Him to coach me in the alumni skates.
Do you want,
like Bobby Plugger used to do.
I like the fact that he's going to be on TNT. I just hope he brings the same casual element.
Yeah, I agree.
To television. I think he'll be good for Gretzky, too. You know, if you're going to have a guy like Gretzky on, because he's such a bigger-than-life figure, you just got to have people surrounding 99 that make him comfortable. You know what I'm saying?
I agree with that. Yeah, and
like, don't put uncomfortable. They listen, hockey television, you can't have someone who's like uncomfortable for the viewer.
No. Don't make Wayne uncomfortable.
Put him with some of these other guys.
Get him out of his comfort zone. Make him like, hey, I'm different now. Or maybe not as stoic.
You talk to Wayne's like closest buddies. And they all say the same thing, like what he's like at the bar and all this type
he's
of stuff.
He's funny, man. He's a
so,
funny guy.
So invite the viewers to see that side of Wayne.
He's
a sweetheart,
but I want him to be like chirpy, you know? I want him to chirp.
I don't know
guys.
If he's going
to
do that.
I think he's like, well, you weren't ever there behind the net. But everybody's like, oh, you got him.
I know, but that can be kind of nerdy too, you know?
I don't know, maybe. Well, no, it's normal. It's him just being normal.
Right.
I'd rather him just be not normal a little bit.
Yeah, not normal.
Yeah, just be out of your comfort zone a little bit, where you're like hanging with in the alumni room with Chaser and your old buddies and shit, and just be that way somehow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Who cares? Everybody's gonna love
like
you.
Like when you're hanging out with Holy,
Holy and Chaser and all the guys, and fucking you're just shooting the shit. Now you can't get that, but like that's kind of loosey goosey.
Yeah, loosey goosey.
Yeah, he's awesome, man. He calls you. He knows your name.
I know
and
he
shit.
Does. And that's pretty
he calls
cool.
you Andrea.
Yeah. But, oh, is that you can't say that. I don't know if you can
Why
say
can't
that.
Why can't I say
I,
that?
I think that is just a...
What does
I
that
think that's
mean?
Crossing the line right there, okay?
Okay. You're all right. I messed up.
Real quick, though, your favorite part of the interview, anything that stands out?
Dude, he answers everything just real. I mean, he's a real guy.
He's ready to go, though.
Well, I think everybody loves him, too, man. He's ready to go.
Like, he's ready to rock and roll,
like,
man.
He's like me, dude.
It
he's
was
got
like,
high energy
it was
motherfucker.
Like the time I told him we were going to call, I mean, that time, like right when it Andy, turned on
not,
my phone, he's like,
he does
I'm
not late
ready.
For, he's
Let's
not late
go.
For, dude, that's what I said.
You said I'm late. I'm never late.
Get the fuck
what
out
do you
of
mean?
My fucking
When have
face.
I been late?
Every year, you're a fashionably late motherfucker. Don't fucking start with me. We don't have enough time.
No.
Don't.
Give me an example.
You're late every time on my show. I get you walk in fucking late.
Right on time.
It's so
right on time.
Yeah, that's a bullshit. That's a pussy move. That means like you just you don't have that in the back of your, you don't have that mental clock in the back of your head. Like I have to be early or else I'm late kind
of
attitude.
A lot of times
like I had
I'm
to.
In the parking like lot on the phone though.
I had to.
A lot of times I'm in the parking lot on the phone.
You're late. Whenever you ever
well, let me
get
give
anywhere
you,
before
let
me.
Let me give you my
don't
example for like when it comes to radio. I don't like getting there early and just sitting there. I don't like doing that. I'd rather I got to stay busy. I got to be on the phone. I got to be talking to somebody. I got to be like doing something. I can't just be getting there. So if the show starts at noon, I'm there by 11:59, walking in studio, or there by 12 o'clock.
I don't know. Maybe I need you there at fucking 5 till so
to
I
do
can go
what?
Over. A
yeah.
Couple
okay.
Days.
All right.
What's
well,
up?
You,
let's do
well, we already talked probably on the phone probably before that and probably went
well,
over.
Well, I'm just saying. Like I'm never late for ever been late for anything.
I think you. It's probably inaccurate.
Oh, I don't know. I would have been kicked off the team, dude. I don't get second chances.
No, that's right. That's right. So, well, you got a couple second chances. Hey, you got some second chances.
Well, when I was cruising around with girls and shit, like I got jammed up on a couple things. Not bad things. Yeah. It's just like he knew I was partying. Yeah. You know, when you wheel in with 2 40-year-old women.
Yeah.
And the. At the hotel where he's got like spies everywhere, and I'm like, ooh.
Well, you got to be careful.
What do you
with
do?
That. You got to be careful.
Well, they're making me dinner that night because they felt bad. I was a young kid. I needed, healthy food.
Mm. Okay, Cam and Strick podcast presented by Hair Club, brought to you by CarShield as well. 800-857-2481. 800-857-2481. Use that promo code Cam. You'll save 10%. CarShield. You never know when something's going to go down. Make sure you're protected. As always, Daredevil Hockey. Again, the protection. We talk about the protection. Use that promo code Cam and Strick, daredevilhockey.com. Don't be sitting in the emergency room with a lacerated thigh or an ankle or an Achilles or something like that. Like it's preventable, very preventable. And we're telling the people, like, get out in front of it and do not pay the ultimate price of potentially missing a long period of the season. Like, I mean, the season is precious. You suffer a cut to the Achilles, Cam. How long are you out? I mean,
fuck, forever. Dude, long
forever.
Time. Yep.
Don't put
it's
yourself
not worth
through
it.
That.
It's, not
it's
worth
just
it.
Not
it's
worth
not
it.
Worth
get Daredevil Hockey and get it today. Bellman.com. Again, they'll buy your used car. They have got the best customer service anywhere. In Troy, Missouri, our boy Dan Bellman. We'll give a shout out to Dale as well. They've got all the selection you need, the Cadillac, the Buick, the GMC on one side. The other side of the street, they've got the Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. Cam's looking at a Dodge. Yeah. He's like switching it all around. I'll now he whatever. Wants the Dodge Charger. Would you drive a Charger?
Yeah. No, I don't
with
drive
flames
cars.
Flames on the side?
I don't
yeah,
drive
I think
cars.
You would.
I don't drive cars. I drive SUVs or trucks.
Really?
Yeah.
No cars?
Nah.
You ever had a sedan?
No, I have not. No? It's either a sports car or a big SUV or a truck.
Okay. All right. Daredevil Hockey. Check that out. Bellman.com. Bellman Automotive. Go see our boy Dan Bellman today. And, of course, local legend, My Custom Sports Chair. Listen, you can see all of these on our Instagram page.
And website.
At Cam and Strick. And what?
Website.
In our website, yeah, camandstrick.com.
Yeah.
That's where you see all of our sponsors. Support the sponsors. Tell them to support the damn sponsors.
Support the sponsors, guys. It keeps us going. I mean, it's the way it goes.
And get a chair. And these are perfect for Christmas. You can get a Cam and Strick chair. You can get any kind of chair you want. So get one today and do it and support our sponsors. All right, for everybody affiliated with the show, camandstrick.com, at Cam and Strick on Twitter, at Cam and Strick on Instagram. Brody Campbell doing all the Instagram stuff. Yeah. We got Black River Digital, all the boys there. Michael Dane with the website. Everybody's doing a great job. So we need all your support, and we appreciate it get through episode number 154. This has been the Cam and Strick podcast presented by Hair Club. Until next time, adios.